I'm standing in this briefing room right now. There is no government official here, but I'll say that the press is not the enemy of the people. But I'll say that the press is not the enemy of the people. The press is not the enemy of the people. The press is not the enemy of the people.
They came in peace.
Maybe we should go out on Pennsylvania Avenue, like these folks who chant CNN sucks and fake news. Maybe we should go out, all journalists should go out on Pennsylvania Avenue and chant, we're not the enemy of the people. We're not the enemy of the people. We're not the enemy of the people. We're not the enemy of the people.
This is CNN.
And now, President Trump is calling out the media, not only on his Twitter, but in live interviews, saying they only have their hatred and anti-Trump, anti-American agenda. Welcome into the Alex Jones Show. Owen Schroyer filling in for Alex Jones. We will be hearing from Alex in the second segment. Is going to be addressing the social media campaign to censor conservative speech and, more importantly, censor President Trump from getting his message out. That needs to get to the president's desk. And yesterday, I believe it was, President Trump tweeted out the hashtag Stop the Bias video on his Twitter account, which I think people now need to make trend by doing what Jack Posobiec did, and you go on Twitter, and for example, he did Breitbart is, or you can do InfoWars is, or you could do Donald Trump is, and look at all the auto finish results that come up when you put that into the search bar. Now you do that, you take the screenshots, you show how Google is biased, and then you tweet those screenshot images out with hashtag stop the bias. And that's what President Trump should have done as the next level of the video he tweeted out about Google's bias. But this is where we pick up the slack for the president and have his back. So just like Jack Posobiec did, you need to go get on the Google SEO in the search bar. Search Alex Jones is, InfoWars is, Donald Trump is, whatever you want to search, and then look at the results, and you'll probably get the same results that Jack Posobiec got, which is Google's auto-finish search results are totally biased against conservatives, against gun owners, against Donald Trump, and alternative news. So this is all going to be broken down by Alex Jones in the next segment. But this is how the Democrats are planning to steal the midterm elections. Now, I think that they've underestimated the power of the American people and the power of the real world, the 3D realm. So I don't think they're going to have the results they want. But their plan is to censor conservative speech, censor Republicans on social media, rig search results so that the neutral, intrigued person by the upcoming elections will go and search things and they won't see the full story. They will only see the liberal bias. They will only see the Democrat bias. They will only see the stories that tell you Trump is a racist. They will only see the stories that tell you Trump is a racist, not the stories that tell you record low black unemployment, not the stories that tell you Kanye West going on a popular radio show saying Trump wants to be the best president ever for black Americans.
From- From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
I am extremely honored to be here with you today. History is happening. Free humanity is reawakening. President Trump, our champion of nationalism and free market and free will, is now activated. He is now awake, and he is now at war with big tech that is the heart of the eugenicist anti-human deep state, anti-family, anti-man, anti-woman, anti-child. And just last night, he put out a new viral video with millions and millions of views that is simply 30 seconds long, showing how Google covered every State of the Union on their front page of Obama, but did not cover Trump's State of the Union. It's the same over and over again, like they removed Christian holidays from their own menus, from their own calendars, and so did Apple. They act in unison. Tim Cook went and met with Obama and then with Hillary and then with the Democrats, and they admit the whole censorship plan. But, oh, CNN claims that it's all debunked. CNN claims nobody's censoring conservatives. Conservatives are experiencing the shadow bans. They're experiencing it all. So let's go to it. Let's go to this visual piece. I'll describe it for radio listeners, where President Trump breaks down how they don't even cover his State of the Union on the front page of Google that helps censor China, that is so authoritarian and uses liberalism as the camouflage for the hardcore, corporate, bloodthirsty fascist that they are. Here it is. For years, Google promoted President Obama's State of the Union. When President Trump took office, Google stopped. And there it is, screenshots year after year, 2012, 2013, full screen, 2014, 2015, 2016, 2017, it stops. 2018, it stops. So I love how they've jumped the shark here, saying no one's being censored when it's all admitted. I love how they're playing these games now, because there's no putting this back in the bottle. The toothpaste doesn't go back in the tube, like Roger Stone says. The cows don't come back. The horses don't come back. The trains don't come back. Mama dies, she don't come back. Google is in the WikiLeaks bragging how they've delivered the election to Hillary. They're bragging how they delivered it to Obama. And they got butthurt with all their gaming in 2016 when it didn't work. So now everything is about proving how they're the kingpins. And they're helping all these other countries suppress, from Sweden to Brazil to South Africa, helping suppress nationalist patriots, you name it. It's sick. And, you know, I did a video on Wednesday night that's on Twitter, Real Alex Jones, where I openly say it's satire. I openly say, you know, Brian Stelter's God, whatever he says is reality. No one's censoring anybody. It's pure satire. And I got up there and I went, we've been reinstated to Google and YouTube and Apple and iTunes and Stitcher and Spotify because Chris Cuomo and Brian Stelter and all the rest of them said no one's censoring any conservatives. No one's been banned after months and months and months calling for me to be banned. And now everybody from Ann Coulter to Gavin McGinnis being banned off platforms, being delisted, only negative stuff up top, their tweets, their Facebook posts going nowhere. Prager University banned. But now they say Trump is devoid of any facts. So I love how they thought Trump was asleep. They thought Congress was asleep. They try this giant un-American power grab when their own contracts say they're monopolies and are public commons and that they would not censor individual political speech. That's their federal agreement via publishers that certify the speech. So they've broken the social contract like we're a bunch of idiots. And they're saying none of this happened. So I did a sarcastic video going, think, again, satire, sarcasm. It's not fake. It's a joke. Like saying pigs fly. I don't literally say they fly. But they play on the illiteracy of the public. It's sick. And I said, Oh, Chris Cuomo says no conservatives are being banned, no libertarians. No one's being banned on Facebook, YouTube. They're all just promoting on CNN. So I said, we had 5 billion views on our 15 channels on YouTube. We had 5 million followers. We had 5 million followers on Facebook. We had 16 million followers on iTunes. David Knight's big success was that. He had more than I did, 9 million. They blew it all away. There weren't even strikes on our accounts. They just did it. So I said, oh, well, Chris Cuomo and Brian Stelter and all the rest of them say that no one's being censored, and it's totally insane. So I said, well, the good news is I'm back on YouTube, and my 35,000 videos on one channel are back, and I'm on Facebook. And all those people that liked me and went there and contributed and commented and everything we did, they didn't blow it away. I hit my head a month ago. I was in the hospital. This is an allegory. It didn't really happen. This is not fake news. It's called an allegory. I hit my head like Rip Van Winkle, woke up, and I thought they'd taken me off Facebook and 26 other platforms. But then the CNN people like Cuomo and Stelter and the rest of them told me that no one's censored. So I'm like, okay, well, I can go to Infowars.com. I go to Real Alex Jones channel. I can go to all these places, but it still says I'm down. But see, that tells me I'm in a coma. I'm actually in a hospital in a coma, and because Cuomo said I'm still on. No one's been censored. So I'm in a coma. InfoWars is on YouTube. InfoWars is on Facebook. InfoWars is on Apple. It's on all its other platforms, Spotify. It's on iTunes. And this isn't even real. I'm not in a podcast studio. I'm not talking to folks on our own audience at InfoWars.com. I imagined that. And Google showed Trump's State of the Union. And it's not gaming 96% of the results. But we all know the truth. It is. And what type of arrogant, evil people promote us all being banned and then do it? And 96% of conservative news blocked. And then they sit there and tell us it isn't happening. What type of people do stuff like that? Well, people think you're idiots. Now, in closing, before we get back to the main broadcast with Owen Schroyer and a bunch of special guests coming up today at Infowars.com/show, I want to just remind you, you can veto them saying reality doesn't exist. You can veto them saying you don't have power. You can veto them saying roll over and die. We're history's actors, like Karl Rove said, and we'll lie about WMDs. We'll do whatever we want. No, you are the fraud. And spreading the word about local stations we're on, AM, FM, UHF, VHF, you name it. Spreading the word about products we sell. Telling folks about the videos we post that are on our own format to Infowars.com from Real.Video and our own servers. Download those. Spread them. That's when you win. Yeah, they're going to slap you on the head. Yeah, they're going to try to Pavlovianly use the stick. But we don't care. We're humans. We're not animals. We go through pain for victory for our children and your financial support. We've got to stop this special after this weekend. Bodies is 95% curcumin, and no one that we know of even has this formula. The best other products, like 93%. The average is 3%. You talk about the magic, the amazement that God gave us through nature and through turmeric and the other products, the other things that are in Bodies. It's 50% off, even though it's about to sell out. Sign up for auto ship, an additional 10% off on future orders, cancel any time. And then Ultimate Bone Broth, reformulated our best-selling product. We sold 4 batches of this, but the supplier couldn't do it. We moved to a new top organic supplier. Chicken broth, concentrated, chaga mushroom, turmeric, bee pollen, alfalfa powder, everything. You talk about stamina, energy, ligaments, old, young. This is powerful. 50% off. Now, I said double the order. I didn't know they doubled it a year ago when we did the last order, so it was a quadruple order. So we have a glut of it, but it's selling fast at $19.95. Leading competitors aren't as good, $60. Ultimate Bone Broth, InfoWarsStore.com. Get yours today. Mix it with whey, whatever. It's amazing. And get your Bodies 95% curcumin at InfoWarsStore.com. That's got to end because this is about to sell out. It'll be months before we get more. 25% off Super Silver Wound Gel, highest quality, FDA approved. All of it, InfoWarsStore.com, InfoWarsLife.com. Check out a whole other line of great supplements I'm promoting with a sponsor, InfoWarsYes.com. But regardless, realize your funding of us stands in the gap and does everything. Please support our local AM and FM affiliates as well. Make donations to local stations because we're exploding on local TV and radio stations. All right, we'll be back after this break. Stay with us. I'm Alex Jones.
Defending the Republic from enemies, foreign and domestic. It's Alex Jones. Waging war on corruption. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show. And now, your host, Owen Schroyer.
Endangered species caged in fright, shot in cold blood, no chance to...
All right, I've got a ton of news to get to today. Caitlin Bennett is going to be joining me at 11:30. And she has, well, two things that have happened recently that I wanted to get her on to cover. And it's just amazing. All you got to do is go out in the real world and you'll be amazed at the type of change you can impact. And so we've got that going on. Meanwhile, though, President Trump is hammering the tech giants right now. Trump on establishment media. This is from Dan Lyman at newswars.com. Truth doesn't matter to them. And then he comes out, he says they only have hatred and their agenda. He says they are the enemy of the people, doubling down on that. But you'll see, they try to spin this, and what do they say? Trump has declared war on the media. No, the media declared war on Trump long, long ago. See what they do? They always like to flip reality. Hillary Clinton colludes with the Russians. Trump colluded with the Russians. Hillary Clinton laundering money. Clinton's guilty of campaign finance violations. Trump is committing campaign finance violation. Antifa, the Trump haters, the Trump protesters, the most vile, disgusting, hateful, violent, discriminatory people out there. What do they say? Trump supporters are violent and hatred and intolerant. And this is our reality now. But you have to understand what's really behind all this. You've got the Chinese angle, where China is running Apple now and about to be running Google. And they want to bring their real-time facial recognition security grid to America. They want to bring their social credit score via social media to America. But then you have another angle to this, and that's the Obama angle. You see, Barack Obama is guilty of many crimes. And a lot of people in government know that, including the President of the United States. And that's why Obama has been in hiding or even hanging out in South Africa, where, in fact, as far as I know, he made his first public appearance in America yesterday in months. I can't even recall the last time he had a public appearance in America. He went to a school in Chicago yesterday. First time I've seen him in public in America in a long, long time. But so Obama first had to begin the spying on the Trump campaign because he was afraid of what Trump knew about Hillary Clinton's private email server. Well, why would Obama be concerned about that? Well, he was the president when she was Secretary of State, which now we're learning, which we already knew, that China was basically in Hillary Clinton's computer. In fact, it was China's computer. It wasn't Hillary Clinton's private server. It was China's private server. Hillary Clinton created an illegal server for China. What else do you find out? Dianne Feinstein, Chinese spy, 20 years. Hillary Clinton, Chinese spy in the Secretary of State office. China gets the list of all CIA assets in China, murders dozens of them. Now, what did Obama say? I didn't know about that secret server. Oops. Yes, he did. He was emailing it under a pseudonym. Oh, nothing to see there. So now he knows he lied. He knows he's directly involved in the Chinese hacking. He's directly involved in the illegal server. So he has to spy on Trump in order to figure out exactly how much trouble he could possibly be in, how desperate he has to be to stop Trump from getting in. So who knows what they found out spying on Trump illegally. Uh-oh. But now Obama's involved in the illegal Spygate. Now Obama's involved in the fake Russian dossier that Hillary Clinton paid for. Oh, boy. Now Obama's in deeper trouble. So what does Obama do? Well, he's a desperate criminal, and he has to leverage every possible outlet he can to try to save his own skin. So what does he do? Well, let's recall during Obama's 8 years in office, he was buddy-buddy with the entire tech left. He was buddy-buddy with Silicon Valley. In fact, Silicon Valley basically had an office in the West Wing. There's the viral picture right there. Eric Schmidt, Mark Zuckerberg, other tech giants meeting with Obama. He's giving them the cheers. Do we have the picture with their names on it, guys? I'm just curious if we were able to find that. And so he's buddy-buddy with them. He's in a desperate situation. Yeah, there it is right there. Cisco, Google, Oracle, Netflix, Stanford, Yahoo, Twitter, Zuckerberg there, Steve Jobs there. So there you go. All of them there. All represented. Dining with Obama. Had an office in the West Wing. So Obama now, and these goons, they who knows what they know or don't know. But now Obama is in big trouble now. See, Obama's in big trouble now. Now it's public information. He knew about the illegal server. He lied about it. He started the fake Russia investigation. That's James Clapper that admitted that on MSNBC. He said, no, Obama started this. So he started the illegal spying. It all started with Obama. So now he's in big trouble. And who broke that story? Infowars.com. So what does Obama do? He calls up his buddies at Google. He calls up his buddies at Twitter. He calls up his buddies at Apple, at least the ones that are still alive. Calls up his buddies at YouTube. He calls up all his buddies. And he says, guys, we got to do something about this Jones guy. We got to do something about this fake news. And Google and YouTube and Twitter and Facebook. Yes, Obama. Yes, yes. Oh, yes. You see, he's the cult leader. He's the god to the left. So they are at his beck and call. Yes, Obama, censor Alex. Yes, you got it. Censor conservatives. Okay, yes. Rig our algorithms. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. And guess what you're going to find out? Just like Spygate, just like the illegal server, just like Fast and Furious, just like all of it, it was Barack Hussein Obama with his fingerprints all over it. And so what are they doing? Trying to censor Trump, trying to censor InfoWars, trying to censor anybody that's willing to report the truth about the high crimes committed by Barack Obama. So now you know. Apple and Google have sold out to China. And Barack Obama is now the thought, is a combination of two words, the thought and cult leader of the tech left, the thought and cult leader of the anti-Trump movement. And people don't even know it because he's hiding behind the curtain, the coward.
The answer to 1984 is 1776. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show. And now, your host, Owen Schroyer.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. Glad to be joined now by Caitlin Bennett. Before I bring her on, I want to show you a video that she shot the other day that went totally viral. This is the kind of creativity and original content that I just love and that I love seeing people create. This is Caitlin Bennett, known as the Kent State Gun Girl. She went on Kent State's campus the other day undercover to ask people about herself.
What's up, guys? I'm Caitlin Bennett, the Kent State Gun Girl, and today I'm going undercover at Kent State to see what students think about Caitlin Bennett, the Kent State Gun Girl. Did you guys see the girl who graduated with a rifle on her back?
Yep, she was in my hall. I walked right past her, yeah.
You walked right past her?
I thought it was a little over the top and ridiculous, and it shouldn't have got that much attention.
I would say something, but she might clap me. I don't want to threaten
no,
her.
No, say your opinion.
I'm good. She can do what she want.
Yes, actually, I saw her in Eastway the other day.
Oh, you saw her in Eastway?
No way. Oh, my gosh. It's crazy to think that she had a rifle in her bag on campus.
She had it in her bag?
I'm pretty sure.
I am an avid supporter of the Second Amendment, but I don't believe that an AR-15 belongs here on Kent campus.
I just think what she did was disrespectful, especially knowing the campus's history with, like, firearms.
This girl literally walked on campus right over there with a rifle on her bag in her graduation photos. What do you guys think about that?
I mean, I feel like what she is just, like, no offense.
Yeah.
I mean, what she...
You think she's
She's pretty to be honest.
So if you guys were next to her right now, like, what would you say to her knowing that she did all that?
I actually rehearsed this last night in the shower.
If you were next to her now, what advice would you give her?
Get more schooling. Go back for your master's. Get a job. I don't know if she has a job, but I know she's coming back here for an open carry rally.
You can't get a job with pink hair.
What?
She's coming back here for an open carry rally.
What would you say to her if you saw her here right now?
I'd say, go f*** yourself.
I would just say goodbye.
So what if I told you I am that girl?
No!
What if I told you that I am that girl?
It can't be!
Really?
What if I told you that I am that girl?
Wow, okay. I'd be very surprised.
What if I told you guys that I'm that girl? You still think I'm
I mean, I just don't think what she's doing is really appropriate for this campus.
So if you guys are in front of her right now, what would you say?
I would say... Hey, if it's you, like, we've been compromised.
Great stuff there. So Caitlin Bennett joins me now. What made you think of that idea? It's brilliant. It's original. And you barely even had to try. You just put glasses and a hat on and everybody fell for it still. So what made you think of that?
So I love making videos like this. I've actually been making them for the past year on Kent State campus. But I knew since everyone knew who I was, I would never be able to go back with a microphone and get people to talk with me. So I was like, what if I just go up to people undercover and just let them talk crap about me and then see if they'd say it to my face? Because they do a lot of talk online, but rarely do they have anything to say to my face. And all I did was put on some glasses and a hat and pulled up my hair, and it worked. Only one person knew who I was.
See, I'm shocked by that. I mean, like I said, all you did was put your hair in a hat and glasses on. You didn't even do big makeup or any change your hair color or anything. But doesn't that really show that they really knew nothing about you? I mean, they didn't even know what you looked like. They just heard rumors and made, assumptions.
Yeah, so what really was funny was the girl who said that I had a rifle in my bag, and I walked around campus with it. And I'm like, oh my gosh, she had a rifle in her bag? And she's like, I'm pretty sure. These people don't know anything about what I did, what I stand for. They just know that they hate me.
Yeah, but your rifle, the rifle you had in your bag, it had the chainsaw bayonet, right? You had the automatic chainsaw on there, correct? That's where the New York Times...
Yeah, it had a semi-automatic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a fully automatic chainsaw bayonet with a fully semi-automatic rifle, yeah.
And you were about to get an assault straw attached to that as well, but they made straws illegal, so you canceled that. But I wanted to say about this video, before we get into another video that you just put out with some breaking news that you can talk about here today, I wanted to ask you something, because I think there's one of the biggest problems in our society, this isn't necessarily a political issue, but because of the communication moving into the digital realm, you've got people that do most of their communication digitally. So they never actually have face-to-face interactions where they have to look at someone in the eye or face the potential consequences of what they say about someone to their face. And so, I'm sorry, the crew is flashing all these ridiculous possible attachments from USA Today on AR. But anyway, I think that it's a big problem in our society that people just don't have the face-to-face interactions. But did you experience when people actually met you, sharks with laser beams on their frickin' heads, Dr. Evil, when people actually met you and looked you in the eye after they insulted you, after they said all these rude and mean things about you and made all these assumptions and you stood there and took it with a smile and said, hey, did you see people's attitudes change? Did you feel like they were maybe more open-minded once they realized, okay, this is actually her. I'm looking at her.
Yeah, so they 100% changed. The girl in the green shirt that said that I was, you guys bleeped it out, so I don't know if I can say it, but she said that I was shitty. She, her complete demeanor changed. I mean, you could see she stumbled on her words. She wouldn't say it to my face after I revealed who I was. And we actually ended up having a conversation about why I took that photo. And, you know, she left thinking a little bit differently about me than when she came up, which is always great to do. But I ended up taking the glasses and the hat off just to sit there and kind of talk to students coming by. I got a lot of people cussing at me and giving me the finger. And every time they would do that, I would say, come talk to me. I wouldn't shout back. I would say, come talk to me. Let me explain why I did this. Very few of them did. So that's just how they are on college campuses.
Yeah, no, that's exactly. That's typical. So I think this is a good lesson in life to me. I thought that that was the most powerful lesson from this video. And it just affirmed what I was thinking is that people have, it's a dehumanization thing, right? Caitlin Bennett, the Kent State gun girl, she's dehumanized. She's just some radical gun. She carries a rifle on her with a corgi and a shark with a laser on her head attached. I mean, she's the worst. And then you meet someone and you talk to them. It's like, okay, wait a second. You know, maybe I don't like this person's ideas. Maybe I don't like this person's politics, but this is actually a person just like me. We have things in common and we could actually enjoy each other's company. Maybe we hate each other's politics, but that doesn't mean we have to hate each other. And I think that there's this thing happening right now in the digital world where people are becoming unhumanized. And so it's easier to hate somebody that you never actually see or confront in the real world. And I think that your video kind of illustrates this. So do you think people need to look at this and say, hey, look, don't hate a Trump supporter as a person. If you hate their ideas, I'm fine. If you want to come up to me and tell me I'm crazy, I'm down. Like, I'm perfectly okay with that. But don't think that I'm the worst person on earth and that I need to die or I'm some Nazi. I mean, that's the dehumanizing effect that I think the digital social media world has had on people.
Yeah, so we see it on college campuses all the time where a group gets so radicalized in their beliefs that they are unwilling to have a conversation with the other side. And if we just talk to each other, we would come to find that we both care about the same things. We just have different ways of getting there, of fixing these issues. And if we could just sit down and have a conversation about what each other believes, I think that we would find more common ground than what they originally thought. But, you know, I guess I'm kind of guilty of that too, because when I get thousands of death threats and people always, you know, coming after me on Twitter, on social media, I start to feel the same way. It's like, oh,
sure, sure. It definitely goes both ways. It definitely goes both ways. But again, I mean, I look at these Antifa people that I confront. And I'm like, look, man, outside of politics, we may be able to get along. Who knows? We might even go to the same bar tonight. You know, I don't know. You got a mask on.
We now take you live to the Central Texas Command Center and the heart of the resistance. And now, your host, Owen Troyer.
And I'm joined by Caitlin Bennett. You can find her on Twitter, at least for now, at Kate Marie OX. And that's where you can find a lot of her videos and other content that she is putting out. And she was planning, and actually it was on the books, there was a open carry gun rights on campus march that you were planning, Caitlin, on Kent State. But recently those plans have changed. So let our audience know, first of all, what your plans were and what the breaking news is.
Yeah, so my plans were to have a gathering of open carry people open carrying their firearms on Kent State campus. I actually did this exact same event in April, And I met with the police, I met with the dean of students, I met with a couple of other people in the administration, and it went fine.
And just to be clear, every time you've done something like this on campus, including your senior photo, you've always contacted police and campus. So you've always checked off all the boxes.
Always. I have always done everything from my standpoint of being responsible and respectful and giving them the courtesy to know. Last April, they encouraged me not to go through a student organization, not to be sponsored by a student organization, to just do it as people who are coming to campus. And so they literally encouraged me not to go through the school, not to go through a student organization. So that's what I did. So I'm doing the exact same thing this time. Right now, I'm doing the exact same thing. And because Black Lives Matter said that they were going, they were going to protest, they decided they would send me a cease and desist and try to state policies that I'm breaking, when in fact, I'm not breaking any policy, because it is the law that I can come open carry on that campus. And they know. They know exactly what they're doing, because I worked with them in April to do this. So I actually tried to have a meeting with these administrators, and the secretary refused to work with me.
So wait a second here. Are they saying that because Black Lives Matter complained about your march, they had to shut it down? Is that what you're saying?
From my standpoint, I went and I actually brought up to the police, and I brought it up to the dean of students, that Black Lives Matter from Cleveland wanted to come and protest. And the name of their counter protest is literally Fight the Right. If that's not something that shows that they want to be confrontational and violent, I don't know what else is. And I talked on the phone to the dean of students on Monday morning, and I said, I want to have a meeting with you because I want to stay away from these people. Do I need to, you know, change location? What can we do? I want to have a meeting with you and the police. And he said, that's fine. We can have a meeting. Well, that same day I go to the school, and they refused to let me schedule a meeting with him because they're biased against my beliefs. But I'm still going, and hundreds of gun owners are still going in some shape or form. They aren't going to silence me. And I'm in talk with different people about the legality of this and their policies. So we'll see how it plays out. But I'll be there September 29th, and so will hundreds of gun owners.
Yeah, and I believe our own Millie Weaver, our reporter, was planning on being there too, correct? Yeah, so Millie Weaver will also be there. Now, this is ironic to me because I'm a college graduate. I know how this deal goes. I bet you Kent State has no problem asking you for donations, sending you emails asking you for donations. So you're right to donate your money to the university after you paid already to go there. That's come on, shuffle some, give me some cash. Come on. Okay, maybe I'll give you some cash. Hey, can I have an open? Can I express my right to carry a gun on campus? Well, whoa, come on. Let's not get out of control here.
Yeah, it's absolutely ridiculous. I mean, I called the guy, or I guess the lawyer or attorney, whatever he calls himself. Yeah, he presented himself as the legal representative to Kent State in the cease and desist letter. And I actually called him and I was like, what can I do to be within policy? And he said, that's not my job to tell you. And I said, what kind of legal representative are you that you can't even tell me what I need to do to be within your policy? And he's like, and I said, I'm still going to show up, but I want to show up within policy. So if you could help me, that would be great, because my intentions were to never go against policy. That's not my intention. I'm not here to cause trouble. But they have been unwilling to work with me. And it's been from the legal standpoint and now from the administrators.
So it sounds to me like the real policy here that they're not going to admit to you is, we don't want your march here. Leave us alone. But if you can afford to donate some money, please do.
And they want me to go through a student organization this time, and it would cost me thousands of dollars. I want to estimate at least $4,000 to have campus security there, which I don't need. We're gun owners. We don't need security from the police. That's exactly why we own.
And why would you need security? What is that? Why would you need security? Is somebody threatening you?
They actually tried to make me pay security fees in April. But I said, no, we're just coming as members of the public. Me and my friends are going to walk through campus here and talk to students. And I said, I'm not paying these security fees. And I weaseled myself out of them, actually, which is exactly what I'm doing this time. But I think they know that I'm allowed to be there and do exactly what I want to do. But they want to scare me because they don't want the protesters to show up and they don't want to have to deal with all of the fighting that the other side is going to do. I already told them I planned on walking away from them and we would move our march to somewhere else.
Well, and again, it just illustrates how if you're a conservative and you want to have any sort of event, you're going to be threatened with violence or other such activities to try to disrupt it. Now, I'm not claiming that to an element we don't do the same thing to their events. However, we don't have a rap sheet of 600 times where we've committed acts of violence against the other political side. That's always the left. That's why you can't have an event without security there, because they know someone's going to show up and get violent. They know if you have an event, they have to have security to protect their own property, but they try to flip it and act like it's you that's going to cause the danger. So it's totally, totally unfair. But here's what I would say as we're closing this segment, and this is a tactic that I think we need to use more. We need to use the left's rhetoric and we need to use the left's virtue signaling against them. So basically, if I were you, what I would say is I would change my standpoint here. And I would say, look, I'm trying to bring back gun rights for females on campus because there is a rape culture on my campus. There is a culture of rape. Women are getting raped when they walk around. If they get looked at wrong, they're raped. So use the whole campus rape culture that the left tries to paint in America, even though a college campus, I mean, we don't need to get into the numbers. It's just a total lie that it's some rape culture on college campus. Give me a break. Okay. But that's what you do. You take their side of the things, which is college campus is a rape culture. Every woman that walks around could get raped. I can't walk around, you know, solo on a college campus because it's a rape culture. So you use that argument against them. That's what I would do moving forward. And then what are they going to do? Say, are they going to admit there's not a rape culture, or are they going to be forced to say they don't care if you get raped? Because that's the only way out for them.
Right. I've actually talked to a lot of feminists on campus saying, like, we should be able to own a gun because actually Kent State's rape reportings have tripled in the past year, which is very frightening. And actually, a woman a week before school started almost got abducted on campus. And because of Kent State's policies, she would have been deterred from carrying a firearm, especially if she was a student. And the feminists tell me that we don't need guns. We need to use our words and talk to these rapists so that they don't rape us.
Yeah, and maybe, and like, what about a trendy bracelet?
That doesn't work.
Maybe we can get a trendy bracelet like in Sweden that says, don't rape me, bro. And there is, I mean, here's
it's
the thing.
It's so ridiculous.
The college campus rape culture to me is a myth. That's not to say it doesn't happen. And that's not to say that there aren't situations. There are. In fact, I remember there was a situation where my sister was at a major university in Missouri. And there was a situation where there was a stalker or a creeper walking around a certain area of campus where most students live, and was going into houses and just perving on girls. Well, you're going to tell me that one of those perverts gets shot in the leg? There's going to be another one the next day? No, there's not going to be anymore. That's the point. So I think we need to use their rhetoric against it. If you're going to tell me that college campus is a rape culture, then I should be allowed to have a gun. Final words from Caitlin Bennett.
Yes, I absolutely believe that. But in general, even if they, we know the fact that they aren't rape culture centers or whatever, because that statistic is done by bad studies and bad science. But even if they weren't, even if they believe that they weren't, a place for rape culture, it is still our right to have a gun and conceal it on a college campus, on a public university. It's our right. And that's the bottom line is that campus carry should be passed for all universities.
And why is it that 90% of shootings, I don't know the exact number, but it's close to 90% of shootings happens in a gun-free zone? Maybe we should change something about that. Caitlin Marie, Caitlin Bennett, thank you so much for joining us. LibertyHangout.org is her website.
Live from the Infowars.com studios, you're listening to The Alex Jones Show. And now, your host, Owen Schroyer.
We've got breaking news here, ladies and gentlemen. As you know, if you've been following me for a while now, I've come from the sports media, and I'm a trans mediaite. I'm a trans broadcaster, trans broadcasting, and I've completed my transition now from sports media to political media. But I still like to every once in a while dabble in sports, and I've got some breaking news here, folks. Now, as you know, the NFL, well, they're struggling with the ratings, to which I think there are multiple reasons. But the big one is the anti-Americanism that's being displayed in the anthem protests. And this is hurting the NFL. The NFL tried to do something about it, and they said, you have to stand for the anthem. Oops. And then the players said, we're going to kneel anyway. So the NFL said, okay, fine, you don't have to stand for the anthem. Then some team said, we'll stand for the anthem. Some players said, we won't stand for the anthem. Then the TV network said, we won't air the anthem. Of course, the irony is they never aired the anthem. Do you know that the NFL anthems were never even aired until Kaepernick took a knee? So they only aired the anthem to show the players taking a knee. Now they're saying, we'll never air the anthem because the players are taking a knee. Total 180 irony. But now the NFL has decided, they've figured it out. They have figured out how to deal with the anthem protest. So instead of kneeling during the anthem, they're going to have a small moment of silence for, well, I'll tell you what, we've got the exclusive right here. We've got the exclusive brand new NFL PSA. We've got it. We're airing it. We're breaking it right now. Let's go to, this is breaking the brand new NFL PSA.
Ladies, gentlemen, transhumans, transitioning humans, bigenders, and genderqueers, the National Football League and the home team are aware of social injustice and racial inequality in America. We ask that you make today's environment welcoming and tolerant for all. The NFL and its fans are very diverse, so we ask for a hate-free environment at today's game. Now, please join us in a moment of silence for all the victims of social and racial injustice, intolerance, and discrimination. Thank you. Any intolerance and insensitivity will not be tolerated at today's game, and you will be removed and banished from the facilities. Now, let's play some football.
All right, there you go. So that's what you get now when you go to the NFL games. You're going to hear that nice new PSA, and you're going to do a moment of silence for all of the victims of injustice in this country. You better remove your hat. You better not even think about kneeling, or you're a racist bigot. So just realize that. Now, of course, that is a fake PSA that we cut here at InfoWars. But is it really so out there? Would it really be so far-fetched for the NFL to make such a move? Might actually be a solution to this problem. But with the NFL season just around the corner, I've actually got some ideas. I've got some ideas swirling in my head. I've got some ideas. In fact, you know what? Now's the perfect time because as I was discussing with Voldemort Jones today, we may even be able to offer some cash prizes for such things that we're planning right now. What do you think, Alex?
Operation Third Dimension's coming, baby. And don't forget, we really are selling out of Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula, but it's still 50% off until it sells out. Then a bunch is coming in a month. Incredible full information. You name it. Body's 50% off. We need that. Hit that hard because folks really need to try it with 50% off, brother. And yes, I'm very excited about InfoWars. Can I say the
it's all right.
InfoWars Army, baby.
That's right. We're going to do the hard launch on Tuesday.
Oh, I just got one of the lawsuits dismissed today.
Oh, another failed lawsuit against Alex Jones. What's new?
Thanks to our listeners backing us. You back us, we'll keep fighting, baby.
Onward to victory. Onward. Forward. March. Defeat the enemy. Defeat the globalist.
And now, the tip of the spear. Leading the fight to take back the nation, it's Owen Schroyer. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Well, what do they do when the Darlings, the It couple, Kim Kardashian and Kanye West, what are they going to do when they're no longer under the total control of the cult left? Well, they're going to replace the It couple, Kim Kardashian and Kanye West, who won't come out vehemently against Trump, so they have to be replaced as the It couple. Kardashian's ratings are sliding. Kanye West is going on radio saying support Trump. We're going to have those clips here in this segment. So they're going to have to replace the It couple because this It couple won't hate Trump. So Kim Kardashian and Kanye West will be phased out as the It couple, and Ariana Grande and Pete the Dweeb Davidson will be the new It couple. The two, it's like, imagine you're in a light bulb aisle and you've got, you know, the highest wattage light bulbs on the top and then the dimmest, you know, refrigerator light bulb, you know, little thing for like a flashlight, those type of bulbs. That's your Pete Davidson, Ariana Grande, very low wattage. So they're going to replace the It couple, Kanye West and Kim Kardashian, because they just won't come out and hate Trump. You know, you see, you got to come out and hate Trump if you're going to be promoted by the establishment. They refuse to do it. But Kanye West is now going the opposite direction and supporting Trump. He goes on a popular radio station in Chicago for what is a, I believe the show is nationally syndicated, but it's on 107.5 WGCI in Chicago. This was yesterday. Kanye West defends President Trump and his support for President Trump on a popular Chicago radio station. Here is that viral clip.
Because a lot of us as black people were very upset with the MAGA hat and the stance that you took on Donald Trump. And we mentioned it off air earlier. You went on Jimmy Fallon and had a conversation.
Hold on.
Jimmy Kimmel.
Did I say it wrong?
Wait a second.
So what, just don't confuse me with the questions. Do you want to just talk about the MAGA hat and the stance?
Don't
give me no compound thing. Make it simple for me, please.
Okay, here's the question. How can you feel like you could support Donald Trump when he stands for so many things that are against black people in our struggle?
See, pause it right there, though, before he answers. Oh. That is a lie. The very foundation and fabric of the question is based in lies, untruth, and propaganda. And Kanye West is about to break that down. But that's the incredible thing is, it's just sad these people have been so brainwashed, man. I'm not telling you you have to love Trump. I'm not telling you you have to like his policies. But to sit here and say, Trump's a racist, anti-black, and wrong, not even close. All right, now let's get Kanye's response. Kanye, Trump is a racist. Why don't you hate him?
You know, we all know the fact that black people used to be Republican, right?
Yes.
Okay, so.
Do we, though? Do we know it's a Democrat liberals, party? Was a KKK?
Right, left, red, blue. It's like a gang. It's like Bloods and Crips. Think about it. See, he said Bloods and Crips. He been into L.A. too long. You know what I mean?
It's like Jesse Ventura's book. Rebloodicans and the Democrips.
I got love for everybody. Pat was a statement of bravery. And to not be in control and programmed that as a people, we have to have a monolithic thought. Because if we have a monolithic thought, we are easily controlled and could also possibly be easily eliminated. We have to think and voice our separate opinions. Because if we want to talk about the TMZ statement, they cut our tongues. Now, today, we can say all we want about social media, dissing somebody, did they get push you this information, this. But I know black people that voted for Trump that were scared to say that they did out loud. That's some 1984 thought control, mind control programming. So, because I've never voted in my life. In all honesty, and because my voice is so strong, I never even told people my opinion or my stance to after he won. I didn't want to influence it, but I have the right as an American to have my own opinion.
You do have that right.
Yeah. Real quick, do you think wearing the hat, because your wife did a wonderful thing, and she got Alice Johnson out of jail with meeting Donald Trump.
That was Trump that did that.
Were you wearing the hat, assisted in that whole situation happening?
Yes. And what I want to say is, in my opinion, Politicians are politicians. It's not one that's particularly better than the other. And I understand as black people, since we want to speak in the separation, because we're actually one race, the human race is actually one race. Race is a man-made construct that was invented a couple hundred years ago. I'm sure GLC can give me the exact like history on that. I'm
but
sure
but
inaccurate about the history of it. But we actually are one race as human beings. But if we want to do the division of our culture and our color of being black, I understand, you know, that we had 8 years where we love the idea of a black president, and now it seems like we took a step backwards to where we only saw, you know, white presidents our entire life. And it's like, we would rather have a female president than to see another white man be president again. And I understand and I feel that, but I just don't agree with it.
I think some people have the problem that they feel like your stance and your support of this particular person almost erases some of the pro-black struggle things that we've associated with you through your music in the past. Like I mentioned earlier when you were talking about the lyric where you said your grandfather took your mother to the sit-ins and that's in your blood, and that was representing the struggle. So I think a lot of people feel like if you represent the struggle, how could you possibly represent this man? Let's take away the politics and the red and the blue, but this particular man.
Let's act like America was our girlfriend for a second. Trump being in office is like if you broke up with your girlfriend and she fell out with her girlfriend and you get on the phone with her and she lets you know everything that your girlfriend been doing the whole time. Lets you see this. Like you say, the detention center. That's something that was happening through a lot of different presidential eras, but now we're seeing it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a very transparent person. I like transparency. I like exposure. I want to be exposed to the information so I can make my decision. And I knew that this rogue personality was going to allow me to see and understand and allow my brothers to understand what we were dealing with. All the marches, people fighting, people standing up, people having a conversation about politics, our well-being. I knew that this was going to happen if he got into office. It's like, whether you like it or not, it could be a traumatic experience. It could be whatever it is. But sometimes you want to say, like, that's the whole funny thing is we talk about get out. Whoa, but that flash of light or something.
Right.
That's a flash of light to us as an entire community to see things that we wasn't seeing when Obama was in office.
But it's like, was still happening.
That was still happening. It's like we as a collective wasn't woke.
Right. That's fair enough.
Now everybody is woke.
Okay, so I want to go back to your statement where you said we're all one race, the human race.
Yeah.
And I agree with that to an extent. But then why are some portions of the human race not treated like other portions of the human
traditionally
race?
The darker color of any culture has been, you know, treated in a lower way, a lower class. Now, this could go, what you should do is have a follow-up with GLC tomorrow so he can give you the history and break down. Because I don't get my information from books. I get my information from the spirit. I feel it. I go with my gut. I said...
Tell you what, let's pause it right there. Let's pause it right there. And... you know, I'm not going to sit here and make any commentary as far as the actual social circumstances that they're talking about here. But let me just translate psychologically what the host of the show just asked Kanye. Kanye, society has told me I'm a victim. I want to be a victim. Don't tell me I'm not a victim. I am a victim. I should get the benefits of all the social justice towards victims. I'm a victim. Don't tell me I'm not a victim. That's the psychological response that they're now putting out there. Is why can't I be a victim?
You found it, the tip of the spear. It is the Alex Jones Show with Owen Troyer.
All right, we're going to finish this Kanye West clip, and then I'm going to get to all the latest news. And then Mike Adams and Stuart Rhodes from Oath Keepers join me in studio. But I want to go back to, well, first of all, Kanye West made a great statement that I want to use now to motivate people. Wearing a MAGA hat is a statement of bravery. Exactly. So it's time for us to engage in more acts of bravery. But I wanted to go back because it's really illustrative of, you want to talk about actual systematic racism against black people. It's the propaganda telling them they're a victim and that's their identity. That's their psychological enslavement. I'm a victim of society. There's nothing I can do about it. No, that's not true. Everyone has been victimized by something. The trick is to not let that define you, not let that be your identity, not let that control your destiny. And even the people that have that mindset, it still doesn't dictate who they are. I mean, look at this successful radio host that has Kanye West on. So, I mean, it's just ridiculous. But it's a psychological operation against black people brought on by the rap industry, brought in by the Hollywood entertainment industry, brought in by the Democrat Party, formerly of the KKK, brought on by Barack Obama. You want to know how they're still keeping black people down in America? They're telling you you're a victim. That is the biggest way they're keeping black people down in America. It's all stemming directly from Hollywood, directly from the rap industry. But I digress. Let's go back to Kanye West, who's actually addressing this and responds to that on this Chicago radio show.
The human race not treated like other portions of the human
traditionally
race.
The darker color of any culture has been, you know, treated in a lower way, lower class. Now, this could go, what you should do is have a follow-up with GLC tomorrow so he can give you the history and break down. Because I don't get my information from books. I get my information from the spirit. I feel it. I go with my gut. I sit against all odds and say, I'm gonna put this hat on and let's see what happened now. You know, the thing is, in high school, people was always trying to tell me what I could do, what I couldn't do. Can't wear the tight pants. Don't dress like the guy. Wear these cross colors. Don't come to this, you know, be in this gang. Don't be in this gang. Like, everyone always my whole life been trying to tell me what to do. And I think by putting out new thoughts, I'm not a historian, so I'm very loose with it. Say, like, there's a lot of philosophers and innovators that, you know, there's some people that got on a boat and found America, and there's some people that died, you know, broke and lonely and was still proven right after they passed away. So, you know, I got a pretty good track record of being right about stuff. So let's see, because now we got a direct line. That's one of the things. I got a direct line to Adidas. I got a direct line to the president. And let's see what happens with it and how I apply that to the city, because I'm going to apply it. You know?
Right. Okay. Let me say, we have to respect your decision, and you did explain why you support this man.
The thing is, I support everyone. Okay. That's the thing. I am in support. I support Bernie Sanders. I love Bernie Sanders. Right. I support Hillary.
Okay.
I love him. I support Obama. I cried when he won, and at the inauguration, my mom was passed. I said, Mama, we did it.
Don't you love how she's like, we support your decision. We support your decision.
Things that happen. It's like, and you take the people, black vocal Trump supporters. Two of the most black vocal Trump supporters are Mayweather and Kanye West. Mm. And I think we got a lot of things in common. We're self-made. And we don't move, act, and think like African Americans. We move and act and think like Africans in America. Because this is not programmed to be our country, but we can make it ours. Like Farrakhan said, it's to be bought. I just bought 300 acres for only $7 million. 300 acres. I'm finding another 1,000 acres right now to build our first school on our campus. I am buying America and making it mine the land of the free.
Everybody's not in a position to make those purchases, though.
Now, we know that everyone is not in a position.
But they can be.
If I said
that's the American dream.
Gave you, you know, some information about Drake, we'd all be laughing about it and think that's cold. But if I say something to you about this is what I'm doing, and you can see, since people like to see people that
But that's just it.
Same culture.
Pause it right there. Like Kanye West buying up land, building a school, that's not mainstream news. Nobody cares. Kanye West disses Drake on an album. That's what they want. That's what they want. Go back.
Our culture. Now, I love Michael Jordan, but I'm more inspired by Steve Jobs. I connect more with Steve Jobs than I connect to Michael Jordan. Yeah, they do this like marketing. You ever watch a basketball game and it just be like a marketing? You know, you're like, man, that's really aimed towards, it's like patronizing
hip-hop music.
Yeah, hip-hop, you know, marketing. Yeah. It's almost patronizing us. They think for it to be a white company. And then they hire people to speak directly to, like, oh, we need this voice to sell this product of this old blah, 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 blah. You know what I mean? It's like...
So the entire clip is obviously online. I think it's linked at Infowars.com. But here's the thing. It's not to sit here and act like Kanye West is some hero because he comes out and supports Trump. It's the fact that Kanye West has, as he says, a big voice, a large audience, and is going against the grain. And they don't know, that people just can't even understand it. I mean, you hear the questions they're asking, like, Trump is racist. Black people are demonized in this country. How can you support? I mean, it's just all this victim mindset, all of this propaganda mindset. They say, well, we support your decision. We support your decision. What is that? What do you mean you support my decision? I didn't just decide to abort a baby. I decided I'm going to support a man that's doing a great job as president. Like, we support your decision. Like, it's some sort of outlandish decision. So, but they don't even see it. That's the craziest part about it. Here they are engaging in the thought control, engaging in the cult mindset. If you're black, you have to hate Trump. And then they're going to sit here and cry racism in America as they are telling Kanye how to think and feel because he's black. This is what I'm saying. Society, logic and reasoning and common sense are just somehow... they just evaporated from people. And it's just like everything, like instinct and common sense and logic and reasoning is just totally gone. And it's all propaganda-based thought control. Like you don't think with your gut. You don't listen to your instincts. You don't follow logic and reasoning. You go with whatever propaganda has been implanted in your mind. It is total mind control. And that's what Kanye West is saying. He's saying, look, you are in mind control. You are in 1984 mind control. And he's sitting there showing them it, illustrating it. They engage in it and they don't get it. Maybe slowly but surely they'll start to get it. Maybe that fluoride shell around their brain can crack. Maybe they can see the propaganda. Maybe they can be woke. Now is the time. 68 days till midterms. Exactly. Mind control. We're here to break you out of the mind control. That's what Infowars.com is all about. That's why Alex Jones started Infowars. And now here we are, 20 years later. The conditioning is cracking. The mind control is being exposed. And more, you're going to see people coming out of the woodwork to talk about it like Kanye West. Now, before we go any further, obviously you're aware of the censorship against us, but thank God for your support at InfoWarsStore.com. Thank God for the partners. Honestly, you know, we don't even thank the partners that we've teamed up with to make these great supplements because we don't just say, hey, you know, here's InfoWarsStore.com, support us. You get excellent products. Now, I'm going to tell you two here that are both on sale that I use every day. Now, I've got bodies here, the whole body support, anti-inflammatory support, flexibility support, joint support. It's got the turmeric in it, which is great for anti-inflammatory support, as well as other ingredients. And right now, it is on sale at InfoWarsStore.com. Is that 50% off, guys, the bodies? 50% off bodies at InfoWarsStore.com. Now, I'm going to tell you something about this, but also in combination with the ultimate bone broth at InfoWarsStore.com. Also great for a post-workout and just recovery formula, which is what I use it for. But I have to tell you, bone broth also 50% off. You're not going to find, first of all, you may find a matching quality bone broth, maybe somewhere else on the internet. You won't find it for this price. And for 20, this is ridiculous. We're basically giving this bone broth away right now for $20, folks. I mean, this is absurd. This is the best, this may be the best deal on InfoWarsStore.com right now. Ultimate bone broth, 50% off. The full price of this is already a steal, but 50% off is the price we're giving it to you right now at InfoWarsStore.com. Get yourself Ultimate Bone Broth. Check out the bodies at InfoWarsStore.com. But the reason why I wanted to plug these things, it's also just a coincidence we have them both on sale. But I'm somebody that is very physically active. And while I'm still, people still say I'm young, I'm getting up there, 29 years in age, and I'm starting to experience some of the aches and pains, if you will, of a body that hasn't been at rest for 29 years on earth. And so last night I'm playing basketball and I had an ankle roll. I actually had somebody land on my ankle and it got twisted. And it wasn't so bad, but when this has happened to me in the past, the inflammation usually comes up immediately and lasts a couple days and it's a little more painful. Well, last night when I got home after playing basketball and rolling my ankle, I did a bone broth shake and I doubled up on my body's inflammation gone this morning. 100% gone. When I went to bed last night, inflammation, I didn't even have time to ice it. When I woke up after doing two bodies and a bone broth shake last night, the inflammation is gone this morning and there's barely any pain. And I'm just saying, for bodies, I'm telling you, for somebody who works out and experiences the soreness the next day, and then works out, experiences the soreness the next day after taking bodies, after the workout, the difference is incredible. And it's that pure turmeric that we have in bodies that makes it so great. It's 50% off at InfoWarsStore.com. So is the Ultimate Bone Broth. Get to InfoWarsStore.com. Take advantage of these specials. And I have a lot of people that are into weightlifting and CrossFit and other such things. These products are excellent. So go to InfoWarsStore.com and take advantage of those specials. All right, let me get into some news before Mike Adams, Stuart Rhodes join me in studio. And then Mike Adams takes over the fourth hour. Let me just get into this. So you know, you're not supposed to trash the dead, and I get it, and you know, John McCain, may he rest, but I think that the ultimate final karma, which is perfect for John McCain, who in my view was a warmonger and a traitor to this country and an ISIS sympathizer, I mean, it's, to me, those are all unarguable, but to me, the ultimate final justice for John McCain, the ultimate final karma for the life and times of John McCain, as they are having his funeral service right now. And, you know, it's a big television event. For a guy who literally went over to Syria to sympathize with ISIS, folks. I mean, look, I'm not going to get all upset. The guy's dead now, but it's just ridiculous. Larry Fitzgerald, arguably the best wide receiver in NFL history, giving a speech right now, played a long time for the Arizona Cardinals, had a relationship with McCain. He has a lot of respect for veterans, so. But it's just like the guy, I mean, but again, you know what? I'm not going to sit here and trash McCain. Everybody knows his past and what he did and his daddy and how he covered up the information to be released from the Vietnamese prison camps so that people couldn't see the truth about his time there. So the guy meeting with Syrian rebels, aka ISIS, it's really sick, twisted stuff. I mean, it's no good to me. But I won't sit here and really trash the dead, but I'll just say this. The final karma to me for John McCain is threefold exposing who he really was and who the media really is. A, who is John McCain really? Well, even from the grave, he decides to try to divide and trash this country by taking cheap shots at President Trump and his supporters. Even from the grave, in his final words, John McCain has to take cheap shots at this country and try to divide this country based on lies and propaganda. So to me, that's karma. John McCain showing you his true colors, even from the crypt. Then you have Sarah Palin not even invited to John McCain's funeral. Wait a second. Sarah Palin is the woman that stood by your side and ran as your vice president during your campaign. And then you're just going to trash her because she won't come out as anti-Trump? Again, shows you the true colors. But in the final karma stage, to me, for John McCain, may he rest, is the fact that it has totally exposed how fake the media really is. If you go back to when McCain was running for office and you look at what CNN and MSNBC and ABC and CBS News and NBC News, and you look at how they covered McCain, it wasn't obviously to the extent Trump, but oh, they went after McCain. Oh, McCain was the worst. McCain was the bad guy. McCain was this. McCain was that. You can imagine. Oh, but what happens? Now he's anti-Trump, a Democrat with a Republican behind his name, and now the media loves John McCain. ABC News, NBC News, CBS, CNN, MSNBC. A hero, John McCain. A war hero. Funny, he wasn't a war hero during the 2008 presidential campaign. He was just like every other president running, every other person running against a Democrat, a racist, a bigot, a homophobe, a warmonger, a neocon, a war hawk, a war criminal. Oh, but then he comes out as anti-Trump, and now he's the good guy. He's a war hero. He's a hero. He's the one to finally stand up to Trump. So to me, John McCain, may he rest. There's the Ben Garrison cartoon. Flying his jet right into hell. But no. To me, the John McCain karma is him showing his true colors from the crypt, insulting America and Trump one more time from the grave, them not allowing Palin at the funeral, and then the left-wing media, the liberal media in this country that bashed and hated John McCain, comes out and says he's a hero now, showing you how fake and fraudulent the fake media really is. And if you're a Q listener, if you are a Q fanatic and you believe the conspiracy theories from Q, John McCain was actually put down by Trump for high treason. That's the Q conspiracy.
Live from the Infowars.com studios, you're listening to The Alex Jones Show. And now, your host, Owen Schroyer.
The story is on Infowars.com. Headline, college says 9/11 memorial posters offensive to Muslim students. You know, maybe I should just start hammering this every day because it really is unbelievable. Because at a certain level, I'm not saying I agree with that. I'm saying at a certain level, you actually need to hear this argument because there's a bigger issue at hand. Let me explain. On September 11th, 2001, what happened? The biggest news event in modern history, the biggest news event in my life, the most world landscape changing event in modern history, until maybe Donald Trump. So Mikkel Thalen has the story. College says 9/11 memorial posters offensive to Muslim students. But wait a second. we were told, the official narrative from our government, was that radical Islamic terrorists who hated our way of life and hated our country wanted to kill us. And they infiltrated us, and they're going to keep trying to kill us and keep trying to infiltrate us. This was such a big news story, such a big event. We changed everything in America. We changed our security apparatus. We changed out what it means to travel. We went to war against radical Islamic terrorists in the Middle East, which we haven't even stopped yet. Almost 20 years of war against radical Islamic terror in the Middle East, trillions and trillions of dollars, because radical Islamic terrorists hate us, killed us on 9/11, and want to kill us every day. I'm just telling you the official government narrative. That's what we're told. Trillions of dollars of war, huge new security apparatus, because radical Islamic terrorists hate us and want to kill us and our way of life. Now, again, this has never been retracted. This has never been refuted by any official government source. This has never been changed. This is still the official story. But now here we are 15 years later, and what did they say? Don't be offensive to Muslims. Don't not allow people from Muslim countries into America. Don't have a 9/11, remember 9/11, never forget poster on campus. We don't want to be offensive to Muslims. We don't want to offend Muslims. Well, okay, now wait a second, though. I was told that Muslims hate me. I was told that Muslims hate my way of life. I was told that Muslims want to kill me. I was told that Muslims killed 3,000 people on September 11th, which is now tallied up to 15,000 people in the aftermath. Was that not Muslims? Was that not radical terror? Is this honestly not one of the biggest brain-twisting, double-standard, 1984 lunatic Eurasia wars that you've ever heard of that exists right now in reality? And now the crew is pulling up other stories. Muslims complaining about 9/11 memorials. So was it Muslims or not? Why can't we get down to the bottom of this? If we're going to say, don't be an Islamophobe, let all the Muslims in, don't hate Sharia law, don't, Muslims aren't bad, let them have 50,000 people at U.S. Bank Stadium and chant Allahu Akbar, let them have their call to prayer in the streets of New York and shut down traffic and do their thing and face whatever it is, Mecca, and don't report on the extreme Muslim compound in New Mexico, which I've got new news on. Don't report on the radical Islamic terror happening in Europe or the United States. Don't be offended. Don't be offensive to Muslims. Don't you see how you're being an Islamophobe? Don't you see how you're being racist? And again, it's like, okay, fine. But what happened on September 1st? What happened on September 11, 2001? Was it radical Islamic terror or was it not? Were we lied to about that or were we not? What happened at Building 7? So this is honestly one of my biggest frustrations when it comes to this. And I think it's a complex issue. And there's multiple angles and levels to this. But just think about how insane it is. Think about the total, I don't even know, not necessarily hypocrisy or irony, just ludicrous nature of blaming radical Islamic terrorists for 9/11. They hate our way of life. They want to kill us all. We have to go and spend trillions and trillions of dollars and occupy the Middle East and bring in the poppy seeds. It's all going on because of the war on radical Islamic terror, which is happening in the Middle East, destroying the Middle East. But then here in America, where apparently they killed 15,000 of us and continue to engage in acts of terror, we're not allowed to talk about them. They now run our lives, tell us we can and can't have memorials, tell us what we can and can't have on college campuses, forcing the hijab on us as a freedom, as a symbol of women's freedom, even though it's the exact opposite, forcing Linda Sarsour on us, the literal translation for beautiful cockroach. So what the hell is going on with this? Can we please get to the bottom of this? I would like to know, as an American, if it was radical Islamic terrorists that hate our way of life and want to kill us, that we spent trillions and trillions of dollars on a war against terrorism and we're still engaged in this war to this day, almost 20 years now. If that's the case, if that's the truth, how come we're letting Muslims flood into this country? How come we're letting Muslims now dictate what memorials we have, what we have on college campuses? And how come we have a media that won't report on Muslims and we're not allowed to talk about it? I'm not even giving you an opinion. I'm not even sharing with you my opinion on this matter. I'm simply laying out for you the current reality of the situation where we're told radical Islamic terrorists are our enemy. They want to kill all of us. They're responsible for 9/11. And then out of the other side of the mouth, we're told, don't be an Islamophobe. Don't be racist against Muslims. Don't report on the Muslim crime. Let them all in. If that isn't 1984, doublethink, crazed level society of hysteria and propaganda and nonsense, I don't know what is. If you can't look, compare and contrast 9/11 and what we're told about 9/11 and the aftermath of 9/11 versus today, what we're told about Muslims, what we're told we can't say about Muslims, and what we allow Muslims to do, it doesn't add up, folks. It doesn't add up. Again, it's the same thing I was talking about earlier. Logic, reasoning, common sense, gone. The memory of a goldfish. So what are the people going to say now? I genuinely ask these people that say don't be Islamophobic. Because look, I don't believe the official narrative of 9/11. Are you kidding me? I don't believe the official narrative of 9/11 for 1 second. And I used to think people that thought 9/11 was a conspiracy, I used to think they were nuts. But you know what? Then I did my own research and I realized you're nuts if you believe the official story. That's the nut. That's the people that are nuts. It, folks, so you know what? Here's how I'll conclude this segment, because I didn't even get to the news. I really believe, and I don't know how much Trump knows about this or has any interest in this. He is a New Yorker. He is in the industry of building skyscrapers and buildings like this. And he's made certain comments and done certain things that would indicate he's skeptical of the official narrative of 9/11. But I truly believe, and I'm not sitting here claiming to know the answer, folks. A lot of people think they know the answer. I don't know what happened on 9/11. I know that we were lied to. That's what I know. And I know that it was a staged event to change the course of human history and America. And it did. And we were lied to about it. And we're still lied to about it. And if you can't see how we were lied to about it based on the way we approach and treat Muslims now, I don't know what else will show you. If it was really Muslims that hated our way of life, all of them, and wanted to kill all of us, why do we open our doors for them? Why do we not talk about them on mainstream news? Because why do you? So let me just, if we could find out the truth about 9/11, I think it would change. It would help this earth so much. It would be more, it's almost like, and it's impossible to do these days because of the conditioning we're under and the short attention span, but it's almost like we need to sit here every day and just pound 9/11 truth and use that paradigm that I broke down in this segment to expose it. If radical Islamic terrorists were responsible for 9/11 and we have never stopped that war that we started in response to it, how come today in America we open our doors to Muslims? If you don't want that, you're considered a racist, bigot, Islamophobe, and you're not even allowed to report on crimes where someone chants Allahu Akbar and stabs someone to death. You see, something doesn't add up here, folks. When are people in America going to start looking at these formulas that we're told to accept as 2 + 2 = 5 and say, wait a second, 2 + 2 doesn't = 5. Something's afoot here. When will we break the conditioning? Break the conditioning!
Infowars.com is tomorrow's news, today. And now, your host, Owen Schroyer.
We've got Mike Adams and Stuart Rhodes heading in studio. They're supposed to be here at 1:30. They may be arriving late. I promise I am going to get to all the news I have on my desk in the next segment. But I just wanted to mention a couple events here on the Alex Jones Show before I move on, because I'd like to have a large attendance at these events. First, we have the Free Alex Jones Rally This is happening Saturday, September 22nd at Woolridge Square Park in Austin, Texas. That's Saturday, September 22nd, 1 p.m., Woolridge Square Park in Austin, Texas, the Free Alex Jones Rally. And I want to thank Patriot Prayer and their partners for teaming up to organize this event. So if you want to stand up for free speech, if you want to stand up for Alex Jones' right to exist on the internet, Saturday, September 22nd, 1 p.m., the Free Alex Jones Rally in Austin, Texas at Woolridge Square Park. I will be there. I will be speaking, and I'd be more than happy to shake your hand and meet you should you attend. Also, I have organized the Stop Government Funding of Abortion protest. This is a little bit more out, November 10th, Saturday, November 10th at 1 p.m. at the South Austin Planned Parenthood. Stop Government Funding of Planned Parenthood. You know, if we can't change the Roe v. Wade results, which I'm not sure ever will be changed, if we can't make abortion illegal in this country, which I'm not sure if we will ever be able to, we should for certain stop taxpayer dollars from funding abortion. And it's worse than that, folks. It's so illegal. Not only do taxpayer dollars go to Planned Parenthood that funds abortion, Planned Parenthood also funds the Democrat Party, ladies and gentlemen. So taxpayer dollars goes to the Democrat Party. Do you understand how illegal that is? The fact that we put up with that is unreal. It is unreal. What did they put like a, what was the tax that they put on tea? What was it like, like 1775 when they put out the tea tax? What was the tea tax? Somebody look this up for me. Look up what the tea tax was. I think it was in 1775 when the British royal government just announced the new tea tax, and it was like double what the tea tax was. And the reason I want to highlight this is because I want to show you the Boston Tea Party, which spurred America's revolution in many ways, was over like 1% of what America puts up with these days. 1%, a mere fraction. These people rallied and rebelled and changed the world over one small tea tax. At the time, we put up with thousands of tiny little tea taxes that the government just tries to destroy and control our lives with. They take your money and they fund Planned Parenthood, and then Planned Parenthood funds the Democrat Party, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, that should be total abandonment of the Democrat Party, total abandonment of Planned Parenthood. In fact, we should stop even paying our taxes. That would be America awakened. That would be America in control. That would be the Republic. That would be 1776. That would be patriotism. Oh, but now we're all brainwashed and the federal government's in control. Pay your taxes. Fund Planned Parenthood. Yes, fund the Democrat Party. Don't raise a stink about it. We're going to steal your money and we're going to abort babies. We're going to kill Americans. We're going to fund the Democrat Party that divides this country as an anti-American. That's what we do. If America was awake, we shouldn't even be paying a damn tax right now because it goes to the Democrat Party. You have no choice in this country to fund the Democrat Party. Stop funding Planned Parenthood. Stop funding Planned Parenthood.
Found it, the tip of the spear. It is the Alex Jones Show with Owen Troia.
If you have not discovered the awesome power of the supplements at InfoWarsStore.com yet, I have to urge you to go to InfoWarsStore.com today and discover the power for yourself. And there's huge specials right now on some of our most powerful products. Brand new product, which is a new formula of an old product, the Ultimate Bone Broth right now, which is coming to you at a incredible introductory rate, 50% off right now. First of all, bone broth is a kind of up and coming phase right now. I shouldn't say phase because it's probably going to stick, but we'll just say it's trending right now in the sports nutrition industry. Bone broth is. So what we did at InfoWars is we went out and we found the best formula, and then we undercut the market. Then we took 50% off that price. And so that's what's at InfoWarsStore.com, the ultimate bone broth, 50% off right now. And you can read the 5-star reviews for yourself. People saying they enjoy this formula better than our old one. The taste is better and everything is better. The ingredients are better. So it's the ultimate bone broth, 50% off at InfoWarsStore.com. You cannot beat that deal, folks. You cannot beat this for bone broth. And if you're somebody that enjoys a protein shake after your workout, 12 grams of protein per scoop in the ultimate bone broth, plus all the other great ingredients that come from the bone broth. So that's an incredible deal at InfoWarsStore.com right now. $19.95 for the ultimate bone broth. You can't find a quality formula like this for bone broth. You're going to pay $50 minimum. Trust me, I know about this. I'm in to the supplement industry. You should see my pantry. So take advantage of that deal. And then while you're there, you also get 50% off Bodies, which is a great turmeric formula. And I got to say, just from my use of it, I have noticed a difference. Anti-inflammatory flexibility, and that's also 50% off Bodies at InfoWarsStore.com. Try the products for yourselves. Ladies and gentlemen, if you haven't experienced the awesome power of the supplements at InfoWarsStore.com, I urge you to try them today. All right, I've got a lot of news that I still need to cover, and I don't even know where to begin, really, so I'm just going to just dive into the first stack that I see here. Okay, this was a tweet from Donald Trump today, which I didn't get notified, even though I have notifications on. What's going on, Twitter? Statement from the White House. President Donald J. Trump feels strongly that North Korea is under tremendous pressure from China because of our major trade disputes with the Chinese government. At the same time, we also know that China is providing North Korea with considerable aid, including money, fuel, fertilizer, and other commodities. This is not helpful. Nonetheless, the president believes that his relationship with Kim Jong-un is a very good and warm one, and there is no reason at this time to be spending large amounts of money on joint U.S.-South Korea war games, which they have ratcheted back. Besides, the president can instantly start the joint exercises again with South Korea and Japan if he so chooses. If he does, there will be far bigger than ever before. As for the U.S.-China trade disputes and other differences, they will be resolved in time by President Trump and China's great president Xi Jinping. The relationship and bond remain very strong. I want to point out a couple important things about this tweet. One, notice how he's telling you what we've been reporting, and very few others in the media understand this dynamic, folks. Very few others in the media understand this dynamic. And honestly, it's just an illustration of how shallow television news is. But let me explain to you, as the headline on the Washington Post says, Trump is blaming China for North Korea impasse. Folks, China controls North Korea. China, I won't say runs North Korea, but basically North Korea is China's junkyard dog. Where Trump starts to approach the trade deals with China, what happens? North Korea starts barking. It's, whoa, now we got to deal with this junkyard dog. It's always been that way. And again, the guests that we have at InfoWars and the experts on this, this is one of the only sources that's going to break this dynamic down. China pretty much controls North Korea. North Korea wouldn't be able probably even to fuel its country, power itself, get anything done if it wasn't for China. So if China says bark, North Korea will bark. So Trump is trying to get that out to the public with this tweet while maintaining positive public appearance as far as the relations are concerned with Xi Jinping and with Kim Jong-un. But you have to understand Chinese politics. They want hardball. They only respect you if you play hardball. That's basic Asian politics and specifically Chinese politics. So when Xi Jinping tells his junkyard dog to bark and North Korea barks, and if Trump settles down and meeks to the dog, then China disrespects Trump and says America weak. If Trump stands up to the dog and says, I don't think so, I know China's telling you to bark. China says, okay, we respect this man. And there's your difference between Obama and Trump. Obama, China had zero respect for. By the end of Obama's presidency, they weren't even rolling up a tarmac for him, or they weren't even rolling up stairs for him to get out of his airplane. He had to get out on the butt of the airplane. Trump comes to China, there's a parade. There's an entire event. Music, theatrical experiences, the red carpet, ceremonies, long walks for the media to record. Obama comes to China. Now, the other important thing about this tweet, you had China and Russia engage in joint military drills yesterday, the biggest ever. Russia really showing its military strength. China really showing its military strength. You should see the video from these military drills, folks. And for the first time ever, Mongolia joined in on the drills. So Trump points out having U.S. war games with South Korea and Japan again. That's him, again, signaling to you and signaling to China, I know what you did with those war games. We saw it. We could do it too. But let me tell you, this was no ho-hum drill that Russia and China did, folks. This was war games, Russia and China. This was a display for the world. This was a display for America to see. And this was a little bit of a message to America too. You better realize Obama really depleted your military. You know, you can sit here with the hubris because of past history and the might of the American soldier and the commitment and bravery that you just assume you're the military power. China and Russia with these war games are trying to strike fear into America to say, hey, we are the most powerful military on earth. You better check yourself, America, and you can thank Obama for that. So understand that that's what's going on. So for Trump to respond and to say, we'll engage in war games again. That's Trump saying, look, we saw you. And the American people better wake up and realize what's going on. If the Democrats and the media in this country are really going to push war with Russia, guess what? That's going to include China. And we don't want that. Did you see the joint military drills? Do you have any idea how many people live in China? Do you even have a clue? So people better wake the heck up, and the Democrats and the liberal media better take a serious look in the mirror. These people, you know, these people are so out of touch with reality, man. These people are so out of touch with the world, they don't even know. The average Democrat, the average liberal on TV probably don't even know about the joint military drills that happened. I'm serious. You should watch this B-roll. I mean, Russians cascading out of jets. It's unbelievable. They have robots that men control and walk in a robot suit. They've got indestructible tanks. They got some of the fastest tanks on land. I mean, it's like they have the fastest missiles now, Russia too, and it's all going on. China has a damn space base. China has a space force. They got bases all over South America communicating with their satellites. And where's America? We're trying to clean all the crap off of our tanks and restructure our military that Obama destroyed. You better wake up, America. You better realize that the Democrats and the media pushing for war with Russia is a bad idea. Russia needs to be our ally. We need Russia. We love Russia.
Broadcasting live from the UN stronghold, Austin, Texas, you're listening to The Alex Jones Show. And now, your host, Owen Troyer.
All right, I'm going to do a news blitz here on The Alex Jones Show before Mike Adams and Stuart Rhodes join me in studio and Mike Adams takes over in the fourth hour. Mueller's revenge, special counsel won't rule out going after Manafort in third trial. So they're still going after Manafort. Politico has a story. Mueller wants to review emails between Manafort and his former lawyer. Now, let me explain what this is all about. You say, well, they already got Manafort. Why are they still going after Manafort? Folks, you don't get it. This is not about Manafort. the whole reason why they're doing this, just look at Michael Cohen. What did Cohen say? Cohen came out and said, yep, Trump did this. Trump was bad. He told me to do this. And then what happens? The media prints the story. Trump told Cohen to, he knew about Russian media. Trump told Cohen this. So it's not about whatever crimes were there or weren't there or any Russian collusion. It's all about getting these people to say Trump is bad so that they can print up a dozen media stories and in their echo chamber continue the false narrative, the false consensus that Trump bad, Trump, the Trump-Russia probe is real. It's all fake. So they're going to keep going after Manafort until he makes a public statement demonizing Trump. That's what this is all about. It's like with Michael Cohen. Michael Cohen says, yes, Trump is guilty of telling me to pay them off. Trump is guilty. And so what does it mean to say? Trump guilty. Cohen says Trump guilty. It's not a crime. That's like saying I'm guilty of starting my car before I went to work. There's no crime. So they make it out as it's some sort of crime. Michael Cohen says Trump guilty. They publish the story. No crime. No real story. So they got what they wanted out of Cohen. They haven't got what they wanted out of Manafort, so they're just going to keep going. We're just going to keep going after you, Manafort, until you come out and make a public statement, Trump bad. Until you say Trump is guilty. Doesn't matter what. Trump, did Trump tie his shoes this morning? Trump is guilty. There it is. They published the story. Trump guilty, says Manafort. Former head of the Trump campaign says Trump guilty. That's all they want. Do you realize how sick these people are? They are ruining people's lives. They are ruining and dividing this country. Everything they're doing, folks, it's so disgusting, all just so they can print a fake news story to try to take Trump down. They are destroying a man's life just to print a fake news story and take Trump down. Do you realize how sick and twisted these people are? Child abuse charges dropped against New Mexico jihadist after screw-up. So I did a little more research to this. I talked to a couple lawyers, and they disagreed with me. I said, look, I feel like a judge would extend the 10-day period and find a loophole around this. And the lawyer said, well, you know, it could happen. It does happen. But actually, in this case, the judge, Emilio Chavez, did the right thing because that was the law. And so they said, yeah, there's cases where that happens. But technically, you know, this judge is actually doing the right thing. The person to be upset with here is the prosecuting attorney. Well, the prosecuting attorney is John Lovelace. And it was John Lovelace that didn't produce the evidence in time because of the 10-day rule. So if you're going to be upset with anyone, you'd be upset with the prosecuting attorney, John Lovelace. But my hope is there's something else here because there's other charges that could be brought up against the three that aren't brought up yet. But this whole story is just, it's really just crazy. Folks, training 11 children to shoot up schools and hospitals in America. Radical Islamic jihadist. Okay, fine. You don't want to talk about it? Fine. Call them radical humans. Why won't you cover the story? Do people even know this story? A 3-year-old boy goes missing. The FBI begins a search for the 3-year-old boy. It leads them to this compound where they find radical terrorists training children to shoot schools and hospitals, and they engaged in a religious ritualistic sacrifice of the 3-year-old boy that they were originally looking for that led them to this compound. And they said they ritualistically killed that boy to then tell the students that he would be their guiding light. He would be basically their god when they go in and shoot people at hospitals and at schools. I mean, this should be lock them up and throw away the key. But the media won't even cover it. And you just have to ask why. The media could make this the biggest story in America if they wanted. Look at what they did for Stormy Daniels. Look at what they did for Omarosa. By the way, Omarosa, where's Omarosa? What happened to Omarosa? Bombshell Omarosa book. Omarosa. Omarosa to bring Trump down with new book. Oops. Not. Omarosa? Omarosa? Bueller? Bueller? Do you see how fake this entire brigade attacking Trump is? Do you remember it? What was it like last week? Omarosa's new book. She got him. Trump racist. Omarosa breaking Trump down. Omarosa to take Trump down. Omarosa's new book. She's a guest over here. She's a guest over here. She's a guest over here. She's got a new show over here. She's the biggest story. Omarosa's new book. Will it take down Trump? Finally, Omarosa, the black woman that will destroy Trump from within. She's got the details. It's all in the book. Omarosa, Bueller, nothing. I guess you failed again. Shame. Shame, shame. All right. This one is a doozy. This comes from Slate. The one place where Alex Jones will never be banned. Sure, the conspiracy theorist is being deplatformed left and right, but if you drive around America, you're going to run into him. I am amazed at this story from Slate. And so they highlight how we have these bumper stickers and there's these subreddit groups where people tweet out their cars and how they've basically put a bunch of InfoWars stickers on their cars, you know, flared it up with InfoWars swag. And so they put it out there in the story and Slate, like, oh, you can't. Alex Jones, crazy fans, support Alex, put bumper stickers on cars. And I'm sitting here and I'm like, oh my gosh. First of all, I'm curious if this isn't, and maybe I'm getting full of myself here, but I'm curious if this isn't a direct response to my announcement of the InfoWars Army, where I specifically said, because they're blocking us in the digital world, because they're not allowing us to red pill people in the digital world, I'm taking it to the 3D world and I'm engaging other info warriors to do so. And then it just so happens the same week I announced that, Slate is warning you, Alex Jones will never be banned in the 3D world. That's right. We're coming for it. You know what? Here's what they're doing. They're banning you from red pilling people on the digital platform, so we have to red pill people in the 3D platform. That's what they're doing right now. And so we will. And they don't know what to do, because guess what? They may control the digital world. They may think they're God in the digital world, but the real God controls the real world. The real God is in control of the 3D realm.
I'm standing in this briefing room right now. There is no government official here, but I'll say that the press is not the enemy of the people. But I'll say that the press is not the enemy of the people. The press is not the enemy of the people. The press is not the enemy of the people.
They came in peace.
Maybe we should go out on Pennsylvania Avenue like these folks who chant CNN sucks and fake news. Maybe we should go out, all journalists should go out on Pennsylvania Avenue and chant, we're not the enemy of the people. We're not the enemy of the people. We're not the enemy of the people. We're not the enemy of the people.
This is CNN.
All right, welcome back. You know, it's funny watching that video. There's a moment where Brooke Baldwin is talking to Jim Acosta, and she has like that look, like you know that look with like teenage girls or like college age girls when there's like a little boy who can like, you know, a little child that can dance really well or like is really cute, like child, you know, and they're like, oh, he's so cute. Like, oh, I just want to pat him on the head. That's the look that Brooke Baldwin has for Jim Acosta right there. Yeah, yeah. Roll the B-roll. Look at, tell me Brooke Baldwin's face isn't like the college student that thinks, you know, her niece is like the cutest thing ever. Well, look at her face right there. Oh, Jim Acosta, little Jimmy. Oh, little Jimmy. You just want to pat him on the head.
She's agreeing with you.
So it's just funny to me. That's CNN. Mike Adams comes and does a drive and just comes right down and sits in studio. No makeup for you. No review of the teleprompter.
Here we are.
Exactly.
Yeah. But I was thinking on the drive in, I was thinking about the potential for chaos after the election. I mean, regardless of which way the election goes, I mean, think about it. If the Republicans keep the House, then the Democrats go even more insane than they have been already. They go ape insane.
But maybe
with
Trump
violence
is more empowered to do something about it.
Well, we would hope so. But if the Democrats take the House, then what do we have? Democrats try to impeach Trump. No doubt that's coming. And then we're going to have a massive backlash by the patriots who are tired of their country being stolen from them. They're tired of this coup attempt. They're tired of the fake news media. They're tired of being called Nazis and being insulted and spat upon every day.
You don't like being called a Nazi?
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Oh,
I mean, there are people who are fed up with what's going on. I mean, you're probably one of them.
Well, it's like what Alex said in one of his new promos. It's like if you actually war game it all out, there is no victory for these people. I mean, honestly, the only victory is total death.
I know if they get what they want, they get a communist country where half of them eventually get thrown in their own gulags, you know, where the police state tyranny rules over
mass
them.
Death. I mean, it's population control. That's what it's all about.
Exactly. Here's the thing. Why are these people on the left begging for their own destruction? I mean, think about the level of brainwashing that has taken place where they have been convinced that begging for their own destruction is a pathway to utopia. How twisted is that, man?
Well, I'll tell you what. Let's go into the mind of the twisted. You want to go into the mind?
Yeah,
of the,
okay, let's do
let's
it.
Go into the mind of the insane. You know, luckily, one thing about Twitter is you can go into the mind of the mentally deranged. You can go into the mind of the Trump derangement syndrome victims by just looking at their responses to stuff. In fact, I want to do it more often because it's so entertaining. But all right, this is from Vox today. This is a real tweet, by the way.
Oh, man.
Real tweet from Vox. First of all,
I'm looking at the picture.
First of all, they already complained about animal crackers having the zoo animals in like the zoo type cages. So Barnum's Animal Crackers had to change their box logo that they've had for decades because it was PETA. PETA complained that it was, you know, animal cruelty. So now they have a new box where the animals are free and roaming and, you know, okay, new look, same great taste, says Nabisco. But look at what the left says. Vox.com tweets out, the new Nabisco animal crackers art doesn't address any of the underlying issues about ethics, exploitation, and corporate greed. A box of animal crackers.
Well, the truth is they took the prison bars off the animal cracker box and they put it on Google. So now the prison has just shifted. It's a prison for your mind.
Yes.
We are the animals in the cages now by the tech giants, and there's no outcry.
And they're watching
that.
Us.
Right.
Always watching.
We're the animals. Right? And so now they're saying, what? Children can't even enjoy a cracker?
You can't, exactly.
Animal?
You can't even have an animal cracker without the left trying to control your life. In fact, you know what? Can I get a box of animal crackers stat?
Well,
I want
to go to Nabisco and demand animal crackers decorated with a gay wedding theme.
No, you know what? No. You're 100% right. I think they need to redesign their box logo and have this male line. Oh, I shouldn't judge the line. A transsexual line getting married to a bi-gender giraffe.
Well,
that would do it. Would the left be happy then?
Yes, but it is cultural appropriation since you are not a lion. So now you're exploiting the animals. But
whoa, who says I'm not a lion?
Well, with your facial hair growing out, you might soon be.
I might be transitioning right now.
That's right. Are you taking lion hormones?
Not yet.
Well, they're available. Get on it, man. What are you waiting for?
If I could do something about the wrongs committed by Barnum's animal crackers, I could maybe get something done. I can't sleep at night. Do you know that because of
Are you having visions of your childhood animal cracker episodes coming back now? Is that what's going on?
I feel so guilty for biting all those rhino heads off as a child.
Oh.
Now. Okay. All right. So there's the mind of the insane.
Obviously, violence against animals. There you go.
This is a tweet from a ACLU attorney certified by Twitter.
Certified sane or what?
No. Just certified. The blue check.
Verified.
Verified. Maybe certifiably insane. But Chase Strangio, ACLU attorney.
Okay.
Verified by Twitter.
Okay.
Tweets out, white people are the worst.
Hmm.
No, where's the ban for him?
That couldn't be racist, could it? Judging people by the color of their skin?
No, didn't you hear? You can't be racist against white people.
I see.
That's why you can, steal their land and kill them in South Africa.
So the Civil Liberties Union now is opposed to civil liberties for people based on the color of their skin.
Which is, white people are still the majority of the biggest group of people, demographic in America. So, and Chase is white. They're all white. Why do white people hate white people so much?
Well, it's like animals hate animal crackers. I don't know. You tell me.
Hey, whoa, that's not true. Animals love animal crackers.
Have you ever tried to feed, your dog animal crackers?
If I admitted to that, PETA would probably come down on me. So I don't even want to say
that's
so.
That's true.
All right, so now Los Angeles is about to introduce Obama Boulevard. Obama Boulevard coming to L.A. Don't you think it would be a shame, Mike, if InfoWarriors went out and, maybe had a sign that said Fast and Furious, maybe had a sign that said Obama started Spygate? Wouldn't that be a shame if people went and engaged in real-world activism at that revealing of Obama Boulevard?
Well, I think first we should find out what kind of street they're naming Obama Boulevard. Is it a dark alley somewhere? Because that would be the appropriate metaphor for where America is going. Maybe it's a dead end. It's a dark alley, dead end, Obama Boulevard. This is what you get.
Or when you go down this road. Like a road with a tent city on it.
Yeah, it's just like homeless tent people. And how about, feces and use heroin needles all
over the place. Yeah, I was going to say, we should put one in San Francisco. Yeah, put one in San Francisco. Find the most feces-ridden, needle-ridden, poverty-ridden street and call it Obama Boulevard. Yeah, that would make sense, actually.
But stack the street with pallets of cash for Iran. Earmarked for Iran.
Yeah.
Please airlift these cash pallets to Iran to fund nuclear weapons. That would be the proper street.
And have the poor, broke, homeless people do it for them.
Right.
For diversity.
Use them like human mules carrying pallets of cash to Iran on behalf of our dear leader, Obama. There you go. That's perfect.
So there's going to be some event, I believe, for the revealing of Obama Boulevard in Los Angeles. So I just think it would be a terrible shame if activists showed up and started saying the truth about Obama. Fast and Furious, Benghazi, the cash deal to Iran. I just think it'd be a shame if activists showed up in the street, engaged in the real world, and fought the information war against the traitorous Barack Hussein Obama. I don't know. I just think it'd be a shame.
A total shame.
It'd be a total shame.
I agree.
Yep.
Worse than the animal crackers.
Don't do it. It's 68 days till the midterm elections. It's time to engage. And I've got big plans in the works. Mike Adams in studio with me. He's going to be taking over the next hour with Stuart Rhodes from Oath Keepers. But we're going to banter back and forth here about a couple more news stories. I'll tell you what. Let's go to these two because they're in the same vein. Police say an assassin has been arrested. A bounty was issued for Gert Wilders ahead of the Draw Muhammad event. Gert Wilders, guys, he's a Dutch politician, a nationalist. I just had to blank out. I believe he's a Dutch politician. Big nationalist, anti-globalist candidate, pro-Brexit and everything. And they had a plot to kill him that was exposed. They were arrested. And then in Mexico, Mexican cartel boss offers $100,000 for assassination of Breitbart, Texas writer. He was also arrested. Of course, you have had over 100 politicians in Mexico running for office get killed. So this is the kind of stuff that you deal with now if you're a I don't even want to say conservative necessarily, but if you're a nationalist, if you're pro, if you're a patriot for your country, if you're an anti-globalist now, gangs and assassins are trying to kill you. I mean, what message does that convey to you, Mike Adams?
This is no joke. This Breitbart writer was put on a hit list by the Mexican drug cartel, and $100,000 is a lot of money. in Mexico.
Oh, in Mexico, you're set, baby.
Yeah, no, they really wanted this guy dead, and he was a writer for Breitbart, but he was located in Mexico, just so you know. It wasn't someone in America writing.
It's like a million pesos.
Is it?
It might be even more.
Well, by tonight, it might be, a trillion Venezuelan. Argentina.
Argentina's market. Yeah. They're plunging there. Man.
Right. I mean, the currencies are collapsing. But aside from that, yeah, journalists are under attack physically when they tell the truth. They are threatened. They're death threatened. I mean, how many of us have been death threatened? All of us at some point.
Happens to me all the time.
And, you know, I found it was interesting. The Boston Globe did a story today where there was an arrest of a guy in California, I think, who had called the Boston Globe and threatened to kill them. Like, I'm going to
shoot. Oh, they found out who the guy was.
Yeah, they arrested him. But you know what? InfoWars gets those kind of threats every day.
I just don't even care to report on it anymore, honestly.
Where are the arrests of all the threats against
No, you know, honestly, you know what I mean? You know what it is, Mike? Here's what I've learned because of a most recent event. Unless you really want to commit to having these people arrested, which I'm not saying is a bad thing to do. It's a good thing. I'm glad people are doing this. I just don't have the time or energy, and I have bigger priorities, unfortunately.
I hear you.
Because here's the truth of the matter. If I wanted to go out and have and press charges against people that threaten me, I'm going to have to spend hours a day filing police reports, talking to police, gathering the evidence, following up, just at the hopes that something will get done. And so for me, it's like sometimes I'll do the initial push, and if I don't get anything, I'm just throwing my hands in and just say, all right, screw it, let's go on.
And plus, the Boston Globe is probably a gun-free zone.
Oh, I'm sure.
InfoWars is not a gun-free zone. I can assure you of that.
Not even close.
If somebody tries to come in here and
I think there's
away,
like multiple firearms just sitting around here. So that's locked true. Up. We got a safe right under the desk.
In addition to the guns that we're both wearing. But somebody comes in here, we don't need to call 911 except afterwards. You know what I mean? Like, please come do the paperwork because it's over. So, you know, the Boston Globe is freaked out because they can't defend themselves and they're in a gun-free zone and some crazy wacko threatens them over the phone from California. He probably doesn't even have the gas money to drive across the country to Boston.
Of course, let's remember, too, about the coincidental nature of this, where Boston Globe that very day announces the anti-Trump media push as if it hadn't been going on for 3 years.
Right.
And then that day, you know, led by the Boston Globe, everyone says, Trump is bad. Right as they're greasing the skids to say, oh, Trump supporters are going to commit violence against the media, taking Trump words out of context. So I thought the whole thing was a false flag. That arrest story is new to me, so I'd have to look into that. I'm not sure if that certifies anything. But then the next day you had Vogel from the New York Times play some eerie voicemail he claimed he was getting threatened by, which, again, I'm skeptical of these people. They lie all day long.
Yeah, that's the thing. They do lie all the time. I mean, look at Carl Bernstein. You know, you guys have been covering this with CNN. The outright lies of CNN, deliberate lies, not mistakes, not just careless reporting, but a lie where they fabricated a fake source and then they refused to retract it. Yeah, how can we trust anything the media reports? Who knows? Maybe they're setting up people to death threat themselves.
Exactly.
You know, that's not out of the realm of possibility here. What I know is that the death threats that we receive are real. You know, we don't have any reason to make them up. I mean, people,
we don't even cover them. We don't even make a story out of it.
That's true. In most cases, that's true.
Like I said, I don't want to spend my day going on Twitter, screenshotting all the crap I get sent, going through my texts, I don't have the time for it. I really, you know, it's like, to me, it's like the whole thing I talked about. It's not taking the victim mentality. It's seeing the victim mentality that could be there and just giving it the middle finger saying, screw that.
Well, how could you possibly have time for that when you're too busy biting the hippo heads off the animal crackers?
And then putting them in cages.
Yeah.
That's what we're going to have to do. We're going to have to, maybe we'll sell like an animal cracker cage now because you can't even.
Well, what about all the other animals in food? I mean, aren't there, what about the Rice Krispie leprechauns? Are they being culturally exploited? Is there a leprechaun lobby?
Well, I mean, what about the Keebler elves? Do they have work rights?
Exactly. What about the elves?
Hey, you know what?
This is serious business. Are the elves living in the cages that are taken away from the animals now?
We were talking about South America, and so I wanted to bring up this story.
He doesn't want to play anymore.
Well, I've got 4 minutes left. And I wanted to get this out because we have a big audience in Brazil. Brazilians are very nationalistic people right now, and there's a political turning happening in Brazil. In fact, there are a lot of ways we're kindred spirits with Brazil right now. They've got Yava Jato going on. It's Operation Car Wash, which is essentially drain the swamp. Their last president, Lulu, was arrested and is in jail. Wonder if Obama may face the same fate. So we're actually really kindred spirits with Brazil. They've got a big presidential election coming up. Jair Bolsonaro is the Trumpish candidate. He's not exactly the same as Trump, but he's the same vain, nationalistic. You protect your country, borders, you know, follow the law against government corruption. Well, he came out and made a statement. And I don't know if you've been to Brazil, but the favelas in Brazil are pretty much run by the gangs. And you don't have gun rights in Brazil, so you can't even go into the favelas. And when the police go into the favelas, they have to send in the military with them because that's how powerful these drug cartels are. Wow. They just run the whole scene. And it's crazy. I actually witnessed a couple of times. I didn't go into the favelas, but you see the police and the military going in whenever there's these crazy things. So Bolsonaro says, though, let me get the exact quote. He says, leave good people out of the range of the shooting and go after criminals full steam. These kinds of people, criminals, you cannot treat them as if they were normal human beings. OK, we can't let policemen keep dying at the hands of those guys. And this is where they're really going to get them. If he kills, talking about a police officer or military member, 10, 15, or 20 with 10 or 30 bullets each, he needs to get a medal and not be prosecuted.
Well, you know who that reminds me of is Duterte, actually.
That is a Duterte-type comment.
It is. It's like, you know, execute the drug dealers and we'll give you a bounty. And regardless of what you think about him and his policies, I got to tell you, the drug dealing problem did...
You start killing drug dealers.
Yeah, but then the problem is you have these government-funded assassins who are judge and jury. You know, they get to decide who lives and who dies.
Well, I'm not going to pretend to know the complexities of what's going on with Duterte in the Philippines, but Brazil, I'm a little closer. I've been to Brazil. I have friends in Brazil, and see people in America, specifically on the left, will see this and be like, oh my gosh, Bolsonaro wants police brutality. He's a brute. No. The people in Brazil are sick of what's going on in the favelas. They're sick of the gang activity. They're sick of the people dealing drugs. And so someone on the outside looking in that has no clue of the situation is going to say, oh my gosh, this Bolsonaro, he's too extreme. No. And you know what? Maybe the rhetoric is extreme and people don't like it, but people in Brazil are sick of what's going on. You can't even go into these areas of town anymore.
It's like people in Mexico, same situation. You know, the Mexican gangs are in control of almost everything, including the Mexican government. Mm-hmm. Let's be honest, right?
Oh, yeah.
Well, you got to clean that up at some point. How do you do it when the entire justice system is corrupt and they're putting out $100,000 hits on Breitbart reporters?
Yep.
You know, to address when crime is so bad, sometimes you have to have a temporary period of clean this up. And you got to give police powers, even if it's temporary, I think.
You know what I think needs to happen, too, as you're about to take over here with Stuart Rhodes? What I'd like to see is a new summit, and maybe Trump should spearhead this, a new global leader summit. However, it's only for the nationalistic candidates. You don't invite the Merkels. You don't invite the Macrons. You invite the Severinis from Italy. You invite the Bolsonaro, should he win, from Brazil. You have Trump leading it. So even Duterte, maybe you don't like everything he does, but he's nationalist. It's time, because what do we have? We have all of these globalist summits, right? Every summit, every international combine, everything is all about globalism and centralization. We need to have a nationalist combine. We need to have a pro-sovereignty combine summit. That's what has to, Putin, Trump, Bolsonaro, Severini, that's who needs to spearhead this, and it could be coming in the future. All right, Mike Adams takes over the fourth hour of the Alex Jones Show with Stuart Rhodes from Oath Keepers. I sign off. You stay classy, InfoWarriors.
As you probably heard, recently many of the biggest tech companies joined in a coordinated effort to censor content from broadcaster Alex Jones.
They're never going to remove him. That's crazy. That's too far.
This isn't about Alex Jones. This is about freedom.
Trump's election and Alex Jones's popularity are merely symptoms of a corrupt and failed status quo.
You have about 800 million followers. That's why you're banned.
Social media censorship.
Virtually every day, the big tech companies censor someone else whose political opinions they disagree with.
Facebook censor our free speech, and shame on the ones that don't even see that we have been censored.
For many on the left, the view seems to have become that
If you can't beat them, prevent them from speaking.
They've broken their algorithm to try to steal this election.
And now they're down to the last corners of the internet. Oh no, conservatives can speak to one another. We must shut it off.
People know what's true. They can smell it. You can't stop them from knowing that.
And we're back on the fourth hour of the Alex Jones Show. Thanks for joining me today. This is Mike Adams, and I'm going to be joined in an upcoming segment by Stuart Rhodes from Oath Keepers. He's here live in studio in person. It's actually the first time that I've ever met him in person, which is interesting because I've known about his work for many, many years. But this is going to be a crucial segment to tune into because I'll be asking Stuart about the Spartan group, which is being trained now to defend people against the violence of Antifa, which is, of course, a domestic terrorism group that uses, you know, masked faces. They mask themselves so they can carry out violent crimes with apparent impunity. And they commit felony assault on a regular basis. They bash people over the heads with bike locks. And many of them, they display weapons and they openly talk about using those weapons to shoot patriots and to shoot Trump supporters. And, you know, at some point, you have to defend yourself against that kind of violence. And so Stuart Rhodes' group, the Spartans or Spartans with Oath Keepers, is part of that national defense, taking a defensive posture, not an aggressive posture. It's not about instigating violence. It's about halting violence, which is the correct posture that all of us follow who are concealed firearms carriers like myself. In all the training that I've gone through with firearms, pistol, rifle training, you know, battle training or self-defense training, all the training that I've gone through with, you know, former and current military, because I know a lot of people in the military and they have brought me up to speed on a lot of important defensive tactics. The number one posture is defensive. You don't instigate violence, but you are able to and willing to defend yourself against violent attacks. And if necessary, you may one day be called to defend your nation against an attempted takeover or an enemy invasion or a communist coup attempt carried out by people who hate your country and who are trying to destroy it. So these are very real and very serious issues to discuss, but we always discuss them from the point of view of a defensive posture. So all these accusations that patriots are violent people or trying to commit violence, it's nonsense. There might be a few outliers on the fringes on both sides of the political spectrum who are unhinged. You know, the mass shooters out there mostly comes down to mental illness or psychiatric drugs. But most, nearly all patriots and conservatives and Trump supporters, even when they carry firearms, they do so with a defensive posture, knowing that it is not only our right, but even our duty to help protect our communities, if necessary, to help protect our men and women in blue, who deserve our protection. Many times they're vastly outnumbered. And if there is an outbreak of violence, as I think will happen very soon, probably between the end of the election and the new year, we will probably be in a situation where we need to offer assistance to law enforcement that are trying to keep law and order in our societies to prevent society from breaking down into total chaos, where rampant violence and arson and destruction of businesses and destruction of property is being carried out by radical, hate-filled leftists who literally want to destroy this country and kill as many people as possible in the process. So we're going to talk to Stuart Rhodes here. We're going to talk about that posture. We're going to talk about defending our nation and how we uphold law and order and a civil society as we defend this great republic known as the United States of America. We'll be right back with Stuart Rhodes and more. Stay with us.
Live from the Infowars.com studios, it's Alex Jones.
All right, and we're back on the fourth hour of the Alex Jones Show today. Thanks for joining us. This is Mike Adams, joined in studio today by Stuart Rhodes of Oath Keepers. And Stuart has joined us. Where are you actually based? What city are you normally residing in?
I'm in Kalispell, Montana.
Okay, Montana. Well, you've come a long way to be in studio here. Go ahead and lean into the microphone a little bit more if you could.
You bet.
So welcome.
Thanks.
It's great to have you here in studio.
Yep, was a pleasure.
Just give us a little background of Oath Keepers. You know, I'm sure most people are very familiar with your work, but just in case a few aren't, go ahead and tell us a little bit about Oath Keepers.
Well, we started up in 2009, and the prime motivator for me was two things. One was Katrina, when we saw what happened in Katrina. We had cops obey unconstitutional orders to disarm people who were just trying to protect themselves. And also the growth of executive power, in particular, the claimed power of the president to detain any American as an enemy combatant. When I was a student at Yale Law School, I focused on that. It was quite a, you know, crossing of the Rubicon of that claimed authority. So I wanted to focus on the men with the guns. And since then, we've grown nationwide. We were known for being on the rooftops in Ferguson, guarding against arsonists. We're known for being at Bundy Ranch. Most recently, this last year, we stood up against Antifa all over the country and protected people against their violence in the streets.
Now, the members of Oath Keepers, my understanding is many of them are current or former law enforcement or,
absolutely
or
correct.
Military.
Right. So military, police, and first responders like firefighters, EMT, search and rescue. And the main point is to go to the tip of the spear, the ones who would be used against the American people, but also the ones that have the skills to defend the American people, and whether they're current serving or retired. Like I was a paratrooper in the Army, so a lot of our guys are veterans.
So is it fair to say that the oath part of Oath Keepers is about keeping our oath,
yeah,
the oath that we took to defend this nation?
Absolutely. It's no new oath. It's just simply the oath we took when we were in service. And it's the obligation to support and defend the Constitution, which comes from the Constitution itself. You know, the founders put that in there for a reason.
So what about in situations like you mentioned in Katrina, where local law enforcement were violating the Constitution? They were going door to door and demanding people's lawfully owned firearms.
Well, it was just locals. That was kind of the problem. You had cops who were federalized and brought in from all over the country obeying unconstitutional orders. And part of it's out of ignorance and conditioning to disobey orders, but we know that's no excuse.
Right. So what would Oath Keepers want to see in that situation?
A stand down, absolute refusal. And we had one entire unit from the National Guard of Utah that did refuse to participate. And it's a good model example of what can be done in Katrina. So some guys did the right thing, but most of them did not.
So is that because the mindset, the training in law enforcement and military is often just follow orders, but you're right. Also supposed to interpret. You're supposed to think for yourself as well.
Right, exactly. Right?
I mean, you're human. We're not robots yet.
Well, we're supposed to. Well, that's
cyborgs.
That's why the oath is the requirement to defend the Constitution. It's in the Constitution itself. You know,
right.
And in the military, like I was in the military, you're taught. They teach about my lie. They teach you about, you know, where the lines are, the laws of war. But they don't teach enough about what to do here domestically. And with law enforcement, unfortunately, there's this mindset among political class as well. Well, hey, if there's an emergency, we can go ahead and just throw everything out the window. Well, sure. And I was even on Bill O'Reilly's show not too long after that. And he's like, well, that was an emergency. I said, well, so what? You know, bad weather does not suspend the Constitution. That's when you need your firearms during an emergency.
Well, especially when looters are going door to door, you know, stealing from people.
Right.
I'm not giving up my firearm in that kind of scenario.
And you have a breakdown in the law enforcement. And this is what's kind of perverse is the founders expected all of us to be the militia, right? And nowadays, of course, that's frowned upon. And so the idea is that this warrior class of professionals protects us, and we're not allowed to protect ourselves.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And that's what liberals want for America, is that you as an individual have no right, they believe, to defend yourself, and that you have to delegate that right to a special class of people,
right,
who are controlled by the government and can easily abuse their power. But the decentralization of that power is when every citizen has a legal firearm and can defend themselves or can take part in the defense of their community.
Absolutely.
And that's what, I mean, America has been that way since its founding.
Well, that was the entire design of the founders. They intended that the military power be in the hands of the people, that we are, you know, they're one and the same, not the separation between the warrior class and then the working class, you know, not like,
right,
like in Plato's Republic, where you have the bronze and the silver and the gold. So their ideal was, as that's why they say in the Second Amendment, it's necessary for the security of a free state. You're not secure, you're not free without it. You have to have the dispersion of power, like you said.
Right.
It's also the only way it's going to be effective. In Katrina, you had cops being brought from all over the country, and there still weren't enough cops to secure people against the looters.
Good point. That's right. A decentralized system of self-defense and protection is a very strong and resilient system.
Yep.
And that's, okay. Now, for those watching on Infowars.com, I want to ask you, you know, about your parents. You're wearing an eye patch. People on the radio can't necessarily see that, obviously. But I want to ask you, that's not just for show,
no,
right?
I've got an old, I lost my eye in an accident many years ago, and it's just recently ruptured again, my prosthetic. And I think I had to get it rebuilt.
So until that happens, I'm a pirate. I get to play pirate.
Okay. I just want people to understand that there's a medical reason for your
iPad. Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's right.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, I'm not trying to play Nick Fury.
Yeah, exactly. Right. The website for Oath Keepers.
It's oathkeepers.org.
.org.
Right.
Okay. And I want to ask you about the Spartan group, the Spartan training that Oath Keepers is now pursuing.
Yes.
As I understood from your announcements, this was a group to help defend innocent people from the violence being initiated by Antifa in particular. Is that correct?
That's right. And also to be there as the pool to be used by a sheriff for the posse, to be volunteers to protect our schools. And based upon the very successful two-year running program that Sheriff Judd has in Polk County, Florida, where he uses local military veterans and police veterans along with volunteers in the school system itself and parents, he trains them all to standard, and they guard and protect the schools. So we want to see that replicated across the country. So we want to get motivating people to train and organize so they're available to be the posse for their sheriff or to be the militia of their state if called up by their governor.
So the sheriff could just turn to this group that are all part of your organization, Spartan Training.
Well,
the sheriff could say, in an emergency, they could deputize this entire group if there were real chaos going on and people needed extra protection. Is that possible?
Well, similarly, what I really want to do, the goal is not to have a group of Oath Keepers. It's to have the people of the county trained and organized. So whether they join Oath Keepers or not, I don't really care.
Right.
I just want to see them trained. So these training groups are open to anybody in any group.
It's kind of like Appleseed training.
Exactly.
Oh, okay.
There you go. Very much like Appleseed.
Got it.
But we want to see them organized. We want to see them organized down at the county level so that they're available. They know each other. They're used to training together. They've worked out all the bugs, and they know how to work together as a team,
okay.
And they can be turned into the posse like that.
Oh, wow. Okay. So how does someone join this training?
You go to our website, and there's a post on our front page about the Spartan training groups. They can go on there. They'll have to apply. We will vet them, because we don't want communists or anarchists or white nationalists, people who are domestic enemies of the Constitution. We don't want them coming
to us. So there's a background check? Does that include social media?
Absolutely. Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
It does.
What about a criminal history?
If they can give us their CCW, for example, that'd be a good shortcut to that.
Okay.
I mean, here's the bottom line. We can't train felons. I know some people are felons because of unjust, unconstitutional laws, but we have, our military and veterans can't, our military guys and police officers can't train felons.
Right.
So, but we do not want to train people who are enemies of the Constitution.
Yes.
So must do some vetting.
Okay, so once they get accepted into the program, then they would join some local training group.
Right.
And what does this training entail?
Well, we want to train them for three main points. One is to be able to protect the schools. Second is to be able to protect public events against leftist violence. And a third is to be available as the militia to deploy on the border and secure our border.
Wow.
We see two existential threats right now. The border is one of them. If we don't seal the border, we're going to have, the Democrat plan is to bring in more people from the third world, and they hope they'll vote Democrat.
Absolutely.
And that's what they're doing. And it's illegitimate, obviously. That's very subversive. That's one big existential threat. The second one is the schools. They want to see more dead kids so that eventually, like in Australia or in England or in Scotland, they can eventually disarm us.
We're
in trouble.
Okay, so we're going to go to break here shortly, but when we come back, I want to ask you more about the border. I have questions about, authority and the Border Patrol, or maybe a future government that doesn't want the border protected. How do you work out that kind of clash? I want to ask you about protecting schools when, obviously, the Democrats want schools to be gun-free zones, almost like magnets for shooting.
Right.
So how do we effectively protect children against nut jobs out there? But we'll be back with that and much more. You're watching The Alex Jones Show. Stuart Rhodes in studio.
The Alex Jones Show.
Just a good old boy, never meaning no harm. Beats all you never saw. Been in trouble with the law since the day they was born.
All right, we're continuing with Oath Keepers. Stuart Rhodes here in studio. This is Mike Adams filling in for the fourth hour today on The Alex Jones Show. Thank you for sticking with us at many different levels, by the way. So Stuart has been describing this new program. It's called Spartan. It's a training program inside Oath Keepers where citizens can be trained to help assist law enforcement or assist in the defense of their communities or perhaps even their own nation. I wanted to ask you about the border security situation. You said specifically that Spartan trainees or members may be called upon to help secure our nation's border. How do you plan to do that?
Well, the first thing that should happen, of course, is Trump should have ordered the military onto the border as his first act as president. That's what he should have done as commander-in-chief.
Yeah.
But he also can call upon the militia, which is all of us, and call us into federal service on his own.
So he doesn't need congressional approval.
He does not. He already has it.
Any of that.
Yeah. Congress has already provided for calling forth the militia, and he has the authority to do it. It's like he has the authority to deploy DOD assets right now.
And deploying the military on the border does not violate posse comitatus because it's securing the border, which is mentioned in the Constitution.
That's right. Or if you're concerned about that, you could have the Border Patrol actually enforce the laws, do the detention and processing, but you can have the military protect them. Like, for example, you had this Border Patrol agent shot, I think about 2 months ago in Arizona. He ran into a rip crew, was shot with AK-47, only survived because he had body armor on, he had plate armor on. But it would be nice to have a squad of Marines or a squad of Army infantry escorting him, protecting him while he enforces the laws.
Yes. But, of course, coming out of 8 years of Obama, we had a president who did not want any enforcement of the border.
Right.
Obviously, it's the Democrats' voter recruitment plan to have as many people just walk across the border and then get licensed to vote in California.
Yeah, absolutely. But now that we have Trump, why is Trump not doing what needs to be done? So I challenge him to do his job, frankly.
I don't know the answer to that either, but there's a lot that we wish he
too
would
many swamps, too many swamps to answer around.
I mean, look, he's doing a lot. You know, can you imagine being in his shoes right now and you're attacked and vilified and lied about every day?
Right.
Half the people that you could even try to hire are swamp creatures who are just beholden to the swamp. How do you even extricate yourself from that situation and save the country, you know, at the same time and exit the White House one day with your business still intact in his case?
I think he has to look at his own oath. You know, we voted him into office to take care of business and do what's right. And all he really has to do is call up General Mattis and get it done. Hmm. So he can do it. And they're going to demonize him and attack him no matter what he does. He must do the right thing.
That's true.
Yeah.
What about the wall? I mean, building the wall, whether it's entirely physical or if it's drone enhanced or what have you, do you think the wall will be effective if we don't have enough people there?
I was in infantry in the Army. No barrier of any design is effective unless it's under observation and enforcement. You have to
Makes
be able
sense.
To observe, and then you have to be able to go and stop the breaches. So you must have monitoring. You can use sensors, you can use drones as force multipliers, but you still need boots on the ground. That's why you have to have us as the militia, National Guard, and the military on the border.
So in your view, the ideal thing would be for the president to simply declare, as the head of the executive branch, to declare what? Citizens defend the border? I mean, what?
To call up the militia. You would say, I'm calling forth the militia to repel an invasion.
But what? How do you have rules of engagement and all of that? What if people go down to the border and just start shooting?
No, they come under the authority. He brings them under the authority of the U.S. military.
I see.
And the first wave could be us with military prior training and law enforcement training.
Oh, I see.
So your first wave are men who already are trained. And then he turned around and he trained the rest of them. That's what he should be doing.
You said men. What about women? Are there women in your organization?
Of course.
What about transgenders? Do you have transgenders?
I don't think
Spartans?
So. Spartans? Probably not.
I had to ask, Stuart. I had to ask.
You know what? I really don't care. As long as they're willing to go down and protect the Constitution and protect the border, go for it. You know?
See, I feel the same way.
I'll leave that up to the DOD, though.
I don't care what your private life is like. If you defend this republic, if you defend the Constitution, you're on my team. You know what I mean?
Right.
That's kind of the way I feel about it. But I had to ask.
But I think cross-dressers is pretty bad for unicohesion, frankly.
Well, I tend to agree with that. Yeah. Maybe that could be the California division of the Border Patrol right there. And maybe the governor of California would approve of them being
maybe,
there.
Maybe.
Yeah, okay. I don't mean to make too much light of the situation, but I had to throw that out there. Okay, getting back to a more serious tone. So do you think there are enough volunteers in America to defend the border through the mechanism that you're mentioning here?
Sure, if they answer the call. But I think it takes two things. It takes a president willing to do it. I think if he did, they would. I think you have enough veterans in this country who would feel really good about being able to do something rather than being sent over to a foreign war where they don't feel like they did much good at all. Look at Iraq. It's a disaster.
Yeah.
You know, but this is something they can sink their teeth into and feel good about. because it's actually here at home doing something that protects our country.
Well, and also, I mean, we saw a huge outpouring of veterans and former military willing to protect and defend schools.
You bet.
After every school shooting, there's all these people that say, hey, look, I'll volunteer.
Yeah.
I'll patrol the school for free.
Right.
So why aren't the school districts taking them up on
because
that?
Because they don't want them protected. And this is what's kind of nice about Sheriff Judd's example. Sheriff Judd put a program in where he put them through his own post academy, trained them to law enforcement standards or above, and he puts them in the school without asking permission of the school district. He does it under his authority as the sheriff, as law enforcement.
Oh, interesting.
They're basically like school resource officers, but they're volunteers. So he takes the teachers, the parents, or local military and police veterans.
But, you know, so many parents who are anti-gun, they're indoctrinated and brainwashed, they're afraid of the object of a gun. So they're afraid of a trained, compassionate, even heroic security person having a gun on the premise when that person is the one who would defend their child.
Right.
But they're afraid of that person because the person has a gun and they think guns kill people.
Until the shooter shows up. And then they're on the phone calling 911 trying to get a cop there as fast as possible.
Right.
So they want the armed guy to show up when the shooting starts, but they don't want him there to stop it in the first place.
They want a 13-minute delay and a stand-down order from Broward County.
Yeah, and right. Hiding behind the sheriff's car, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. You don't train Spartan members to hide behind cars when the shootings are going on, do you?
No, absolutely not.
So they wouldn't qualify for Broward County duty?
Probably not. Well, and that goes back to the same problem. Evan Vieira wrote a brilliant piece about this situation. He said the same thing about the border. He said the same thing about the schools. He said the president can call up the militia and put them in the schools to secure the schools, and it would trump any school district or county opposition. Hmm. This is a federal call up, and you deploy the militia to protect the schools.
Wow. Yeah, it makes me wonder why he hasn't done that, because it's such a simple thing. And it costs the federal government nothing. Essentially, maybe a little bit of coordination overhead.
A little bit, maybe.
Yeah, but people would volunteer for this.
You bet.
Okay, so let's get back to the Spartan training. We got under a minute left in this segment. What else do people, what actually do people get trained to do? Is it?
Well, we would certainly teach them, of course, use of force. We would teach them the force continuum. We would teach them how to use their weapons effectively and safely.
Mm-hmm.
We would teach them first aid for themselves and for others, for victims. Okay. I mean, essentially what you would want to have someone know how to do to respond to an active shooter.
Okay, that makes perfect sense. I want to ask you a few more details about that. It's the Spartan program under Oath Keepers.
That's correct.
Okay, oathkeepers.org is the website, folks. We're going to continue with Stuart Rhodes on the other side of this break. This is Mike Adams filling in for the Alex Jones Show. Stay with us. We'll be right back with much more. It's fun, right?
Transgender buzz.
You know,
you're listening to the Alex Jones Show.
Political outrage turns bloody in Berkeley. Our KPIX 5 crews were right in the middle of the chaos as both Trump supporters and anti-Trump activists come to blows.
Protesters followed Trump supporters to their cars as they left the convention center. Around the corner and away from police protection on San Carlos Street, a mob mentality took over.
You voted Trump! You voted Trump! Yeah!
What do you say to the people who dragged a poor white guy out of a car and beat him?
Oh my goodness, poor white people, please, oh my, stop.
These were pure attacks. Trump supporters, men, women, even the elderly, left this building last night and walked right into danger.
This Trump supporter was the first casualty of the day, with blood streaming out of his face.
Pro-Trump and anti-Trump protesters got into it.
They're throwing things at the guy who has a Trump shirt on. Oh, he just got knocked in the back of the head. He just got punched in the face. And now they're rushing him.
We're saying, if you're out there and you're trying to represent your First Amendment right to free speech, if somebody comes and attacks you, it's your right to defend yourself.
It got ugly. Violence erupting at the event as fights broke out, fists flying between Trump supporters and anti-Trump supporters. It gets pretty ugly.
Yeah, I want to warn the folks watching at home, you're about to see some very violent footage.
Do you want to fight? You better believe you got one!
Organizers say today's rally is tormented.
All right, so that's a look at some of the violence that Antifa carries out in the name of what, peace? I don't know. They're insane. Antifa is a domestic terrorism group.
Yes.
They are instigating violence. They wear masks to hide their identity so that they can get away with these felony assaults. They attack innocent people. You saw some of the footage there. That's just a small sample, as you're well aware.
Right.
This is why you founded your group. So let's talk about this Antifa violence and where, I mean, obviously you think it's important enough to train a group to defend innocent people against that violence.
Absolutely.
Is that because you see this Antifa violence escalating to a point of, I don't know if I want to say it, but where do you see it's going?
Well, eventually it could go kinetic. The use of bombs, they could go full Weather Underground. And when they do that, whether it's with handguns or rifles or with pipe bombs, at that point, we could be into a full-blown civil war. We could escalate to that.
We have seen Antifa groups, I think one recently in California, announced that they intended to shoot patriots and Trump supporters and start the revolution, which I guess is some communist left-wing revolution. And I've seen videos of them training with guns, although they're horrible shots. They miss at 20 yards with a rifle.
Right.
It's so bad. It's almost comical, but they think that they're going to do this.
They're delusional.
Right. But that may mean that they're going to try it because exactly. They don't know how quickly they'll be defeated.
That's why I bring up the Weather Underground. They were delusional as well. And yet they still, you know, pipe bombed police stations and buildings. They still cause a lot of damage. And so, but the difference now is that if an organized group as large as Antifa across the country, who are seen as puppets of George Soros, if they were to go and, like, for example, kill a Border Patrol family or an ICE family, it'd be on. I think you would see an extermination of Antifa in about a week.
Whoa.
Across the country.
What do you mean?
I think after at that point, retired police officers and veterans would just hunt them down.
Wow.
Yeah.
Just take them out. Blunt. But they don't know who they are. I mean, that's the point of the masks is
right.
You don't have the identities of many of the Antifa people. So that tends to embolden them into thinking that they could carry out these kinds of killings or attacks. And
Well, they would never be able to assemble again in a black bloc. It wouldn't happen. They'd be wiped off the face of the earth if they did.
So you believe that there are enough retired law enforcement, retired military,
right.
Border Patrol, and so on, who would rise to that occasion if... Like you said, let's say if a Border Patrol family were executed by Antifa.
Yeah.
It'd be over for Antifa.
I think so.
Wouldn't there be then current law enforcement response to that to try to, you know,
maybe
local police? I mean, a lot of local police in cities like Los Angeles aren't exactly pro-America, all of them. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So
yeah. I mean, we're talking about a civil war. And
okay.
It depends upon what side they're on, depending on one county to another. In California, for example,
yeah,
you cross the county lines, you're in blue or red state, basically.
Wow.
One or the other.
So
we don't want that. Be very clear about that. We don't want that. We prefer the law enforcement handle it. I think Trump needs to crack down on them, frankly.
Yeah.
And I think the local police do also.
But CNN is defending them. I mean, think about this. Not only does CNN blatantly lie with fake news reporting that they know is fake... You know, the Carl Bernstein piece recently, a great example. But CNN defends Antifa and says that attacks on Antifa are criticism of Antifa is racism.
Right.
How is that racism?
Well, that's all they got. This is what's kind of perverse about it, is that a lot of these young kids that are in these black blocs actually believe that they're fighting Nazis. They believe that I'm a Nazi, you're a Nazi. I mean, everybody's a Nazi who's not them.
Uh-huh.
And they've been conditioned to believe that. It's basically what they're being conditioned to believe is anyone who believes in traditional American life or the Constitution is a racist because it's all inherently racist.
So they think they're fighting Nazis, which is their delusion.
Right.
And we, the patriots, we might be actually fighting Nazis, which is the
fascist left.
The fascist left.
Exactly.
Who are actually marching in the footsteps of the red shirts and the Third Reich. I mean, they're the actual fascists.
Yeah, absolutely.
So... I guess it comes down to who's the real Nazi. Right?
Well, I mean, here's a sick, like I told my guys not too long ago, the perverse thing is it could wind up with these young kids dying in combat, being killed by veterans.
Yeah.
And believing as they die that they're fighting a Nazi.
Wow.
And the Nazi is killing them when all we are is patriots who want to be left alone and want our families safe.
and who are operating actually in the reflection of the great Americans who defeated the Nazis.
Exactly.
By the way,
yeah,
the greatest generation that fought the Nazis, the actual Nazis, stormed the beaches. We took out the Nazis and we'll do it again if we have to.
Or the commies.
Or the commies, exactly. All right, now, what about these young Antifa delusional terrorists? I've seen the training videos. I've seen them do maybe a total of 4 sit-ups. I've seen them attempt push-ups. You know, they think they're badasses. How quickly would they actually be defeated if this went full kinetic?
Well, like I said, it depends on what the stand-up fight or not, right? If they were trying to someone on black block, like it'd be over in about 2 seconds. But of course,
what is that term you're using? I'm sorry.
Black block.
What's a black block?
Where they dress all alike.
Oh,
from
I
head
see.
To toe. So that you can't identify them.
Oh, okay.
And that only works when people aren't shooting them. When they're shooting them, the guy in the black mask gets shot. It's pretty easy to figure that out, right?
Right.
So that the masks don't work unless you're the masks only work when we are within the bounds of the law and trying to be as civil as possible. Then they can get away with it.
Once the shooting starts, you don't want to be wearing an Antifa mask.
Absolutely not. Yeah, it's a bullet magnet.
Right. What about a red scarf?
What
about a Lenin
hammer and
t-shirt?
Sickle? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The hammer and sickle scarf and a Che Guevara t-shirt.
It's like,
yeah, not good.
You can pretty much see that at about 1,000 yards, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
You know, and I know veterans. I know one veteran in Montana, you know, Army vet. He takes his elk at 960 yards.
Right.
That's how long he shoots. That's how far he shoots. You got guys like that have been shooting, you know, all their lives. And so the Antifa are not going to train up within a few months or years to match that.
No. I actually shoot at 1,000 yards plus out to 1,500 with a 300 Win Mag.
There you go.
But it took many, many years of training, and the wind still, you can't fight. If you don't have a wind call correctly, you're 6 feet off.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
Yeah. So, yeah, they're not going to overnight. They think it's a video game, man. They think you line up the crosshairs and you pull the trigger. That's it.
Right.
They don't know anything about ballistics.
Exactly.
They don't. Okay, so your assessment is, and I would agree with you, that they would be defeated very, very quickly if it went kinetic. But what if they ran a false flag on themselves?
Right.
That's right. Then they could get public opinion shifted against the Patriots to say they could stage Patriots murdering, you know, a bunch of Antifa people and blame you.
It could. But one of the reasons why we started, like last year, we stepped out in Berkeley twice and guarded public events against Antifa successfully. We did a coalition. It was bikers, it was 3% groups, it was small militia groups in California, and then it was us. And we brought police professionals in as leadership. And that combined element kept things safe.
I see. So your overall posture, just to summarize, is defensive, peaceful, but ready to respond if Antifa escalates the violence.
Right. Well, we want to just protection. I'm just saying what would happen in general if they started a civil war, they'd be defeated. Absolutely.
Right. I tend to agree with you. We'll be right back with Stuart Rhodes. More straight ahead here on The Alex Jones Show.
The answer to 1984 is 1776. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
And we continue, joined by Oath Keepers, Stuart Rhodes, here in studio at the Alex Jones Show today. This is Mike Adams asking the tough questions. Actually, I do have a couple of tough questions for you
sure. In
this final segment. Let me, someone listening to what you said in the previous segments might freak out especially if they're leftists, and they're like, oh my God, did he just describe that Patriots are going to murder all Antifa people? Of course, that's not what you said, but they take everything out of context.
Right, right.
But you did say that if Antifa, you know, kills a Border Patrol family, that probably there would be a reaction that would, you know, eliminate them all.
Be on open season.
Right. But I'm going to give you an opportunity to clarify what you mean, because you're not talking about like death squads running around the country killing Antifa people, right?
Well,
or are you?
Look. People would see this is what's perverse about it. Like I said, they would die believing that they were being killed by some Nazi death squad when all they really, what's really going on is a reaction to their violence, their terrorism, and the hunting down of terrorists.
Uh-huh.
You know, so we don't want to see that. We prefer to have law enforcement do it. But I think that, you know, if you have a retired Border Patrol officer and he's identified a black bloc or Antifa cell in his community, and he knows it's now open season on his brothers by Antifa, he's going to go whack them.
Now, I got to say, when you use this term black bloc, I think you're going to be accused of racism.
No, it's a block of black clothed
no,
people.
No, but right? I hear you.
And they're all
CNN,
white kids, and they're all white kids.
I know, they're white kids wearing black masks, right, but right. CNN said that Antifa is an African-American group, which is nonsense. It's mostly these privileged white kids who, again, can't even do push-ups. And they get knocked out with one punch, you know, at the protest. But when you're using that term black bloc, it sounds, somebody's going to take it out of context.
Oh, tough. That's the term.
Okay. Right? All right. Well, you're right. They chose their own black colors, even though they're mostly white kids wearing those colors.
It's nothing to do with race anyway. It's just, right. It's just, they think it looks cool. You know, it's the anarchist black and red flag.
So do you think that they think that they're scary looking?
Yeah.
Cause we kind of laugh at them actually.
Yeah, they think they're scary looking.
We think they're hilarious.
Yeah.
But they might say that, again, you know, that you're calling for violence or you're calling for pre-violence in certain circumstances.
I'm just being predictive. To be blunt, I'm just saying, look, if a civil war kicks off, they're going to lose.
I can agree with that.
Yeah.
If a civil war kicks off, they lose big time.
I prefer that what we do, and this is why we went out last year, big part of it was not just in Berkeley, but also in Portland and Boston, all over the country. One of my big motivators was I did not want to leave a vacuum to be filled by the white nationalists who are also enemies of the Constitution. They hate the Constitution as well.
That's correct.
They do. They openly they make fun of it all the time. So if we had not stepped out and protected these gatherings, they were hoping that they would be the heroes and come in and be able to protect people, and they would grow their street cred and their authority, which is why they hate Oath Keepers, frankly.
Well, how do you keep white nationalists out of your Spartan program?
We same thing. We were going to vet them. We're hunting for them. If we find them in social media or otherwise identify them, we don't train them.
So someone has a social media post, a white nationalist post or a white supremacist post,
done.
KKK, whatever, you reject them.
Absolutely. Yeah. Because they're also domestic enemies of the Constitution.
Right.
They are.
Right. Actually, Dinesh D'Souza proved that with his recent movie.
Yeah, with Richard Spencer.
Yeah.
Right.
The guy's like,
he's a Nazi.
Yeah.
He really is a Nazi.
An actual Nazi. Yeah, we found an actual Nazi.
He's a real Nazi.
I see. Okay, well, finally.
He's a national socialist. So you have national socialists and you have the international socialists on the left.
Right.
So you have two competing totalitarian ideologies.
And you're opposed to both of them.
Absolutely.
Of course.
Right.
Okay. Now, what about the Sentinel program that you have? Tell us about that.
Well, that's a Oath Keeper only program. So if someone's in a Spartan program, we train them whether they join or not, whether they're another group or not. I don't care. But if they want to be part of our vetted teams, they have to join Oath Keepers. And we call those our Sentinel teams. And the primary function for them is to be people that we know we can rely on to go and protect a school or to show up at a critical event that we're protecting, like another Berkeley, for example.
Now, so how does that team interlace with local law enforcement? Would the sheriff, for example, be given a phone call to say, hey, some of our Sentinel people are also going to show up to assist? Is that how it works?
We'd say we're going to come in like we did in Berkeley. I brought in, we had about 14 retired police officers and current serving, 12 of them from California, 2 from out of state.
Uh-huh.
2 out of state were the leadership. John Kerriman, our leader from the rooftops in Ferguson, and a retired lieutenant from the D.C. Metro. So they came in, they were armed because they can carry under LEOSA, they can carry nationwide, even in the park in Berkeley.
Under what?
LEOSA, the Law Enforcement Officer Safety Act.
Oh, okay.
Right. So retired cop could carry, even in the Berkeley park where no one else is allowed to carry anything.
I see, right.
Retired cops can. So we had our retired cops carrying guns in the park ready in case there was Antifa, you know, kinetic violence. And then you had veterans, about 75 veterans, military veterans who weren't armed, but who were, you know, wearing body armor and gloves and helmets and ready to go.
I see.
So combined forced element.
Have you ever had a situation where your group was called to an incident or a location and local law enforcement was very combative with you about that? So, you know, get out of here.
Not so far, because that's the advantage of us having a lot of police officers. They go in ahead of time and lay us on. And among police officers, there's a mutual respect and they understand what they're doing and why. And they know that we're going to stay within the law. We know that we're only being defensive. And they know that our police officers are in charge.
It was fascinating having you here in studio to be able to ask you these questions in person.
But yeah, it's just awesome.
Thanks for being here. So let me ask you this. You talk to a lot of cops. You know, I know a lot of cops too, but you know a lot more than I do. What is the feeling right now about where they think things are going? Because I just keep hearing a lot of red alerts across the board. What are you hearing?
Same thing.
Really?
They're very concerned that we're seeing a breakdown in our social cohesion.
Yes.
And we're seeing the precursor to a civil war. You know, and they don't want to see it either.
And your cops are all, when I say your cops, I mean the officers that are members of your group, they're all pro Second Amendment, right?
Absolutely.
There's not anti-gun cops in your group.
No, no.
Okay. So they love the idea. I mean, you tell me if this is true or not. They love the idea of citizens being armed and trained.
Absolutely. Right. Yeah. I've had a panel of 15 police officers and oath keepers put together a white paper on exactly how they would want to see schools protected.
Uh-huh.
And it came down right along the same lines as the Sheriff Judge program. You let the teachers and staff who want to volunteer to be trained and carry guns in the school. You let parents who want to train to standard come in and volunteer. And you also let military and police veterans in the community do likewise. Absolutely.
Well, it makes perfect sense because, like you said early on, we can't just delegate security to some other group.
Doesn't work.
We are part of it.
Right. Well, the
citizens.
The teachers themselves, this is what the Israelis figured out many decades ago. The pool of people being attacked by the shooter has to be the ones who defend
That's
the school.
Right.
Because
they're
already there. They're always there.
That's
the teachers
right.
are always there. It's kind of like with the pilots. Why not arm every pilot?
Right.
He's on the plane. He's on every plane.
Right.
Doesn't cost you any extra money at all.
And the pilots I know are all good shooters anyway. You know, pilots have a lot of handguns.
Yeah, a lot of them do.
Yeah, they're smart guys. I mean, to fly a plane, you have to be a smart individual.
Yeah.
And they're good with ballistics and everything.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. We got a couple minutes left. First of all, I just want to say, I think it's great what you're doing, and thank you for your leadership and for your compassion for this country. I know that you get a lot of hate, as all of us do who are pro-America.
Right.
You probably get death threatened too, right?
Oh yeah.
Of course. In the end, when this all plays out over the next, let's say, through two terms of a Trump presidency, by the time we get to 2024, where are we in America at that point in your view? It doesn't have to be, you know, a prediction, but just trend-wise, where do you think we are?
Well, I think they're trying to isolate him and just run the clock out on Trump. And I think we have to make sure that we take advantage of this, strike while the iron's hot. There's too much complacency out there. I think we need to be organizing and getting prepared while we have this window of opportunity where you don't have the federal government breathing down your neck. So local.
What about the fact that the Democrats are very strong in the cities, but rural America has, of course, a lot more patriots. But how, if engagements are in the cities, isn't that kind of a home court advantage for the Antifa terrorists?
One of our strongest chapters now is in Berkeley, California.
Is that right?
Yeah. One of our best chapters is the Bay Area of California now. Because of their stepping out twice, they've developed their cohesion.
Wow.
This is one of the reasons why I'm doing this program is we want to see more of that. We want to see more patriots coming together, realizing they can do it, and getting them on the job.
How many total members in Oath Keepers right now?
Right now, about 30,000, but we want to double that. We're doing a membership drive right now, and hopefully we'll double it.
Is there a fee to be a member?
$40 a year.
Okay, yeah. So nothing.
Nothing.
Basically.
Yeah, basically nothing.
Right, right.
A couple six
packs. One box of ammo.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, so everybody check out oathkeepers.org. If this is interesting to you, join the organization and check out the Spartan training program. Is that starting now?
Yes. They can go on the website right now and find the form to apply. And you don't need to be an Oath Keeper to do that, but you're more than welcome to join, whether you're prior service or not. You're welcome.
Do you have to have firearms experience to join?
No.
So no experience?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's the point. We'll train you.
You just bring your pistol?
Yep.
Should they bring it loaded or unloaded?
Unloaded.
That's what I thought. I don't go to gun training classes anymore with groups of newbies because they're too dangerous. They walk around pointing at everything.
Okay. Depends on their training.
It does depend. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you, Stuart. It's great to have you in the studio.
All right.
Thanks, everybody. That's the show. That's a wrap. We'll talk to you next time.